Is this thing on? I'm just kidding. I have no thing. I'm sure you're all wondering what you're doing here or who you're going to be doing it with.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Arsenio, I loved your show. I watched that show every night. What have you been doing lately?
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man. Pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you, Arsenio.
Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
Who is this sad, pathetic human? Bean!
Where's the outrage there?
And now.
I went to Vivian Westwood and sat next to Rihanna and was just like.
Did you hit that?
Oh! Bean, the interview killer!
Where's the outrage there?
Our feature presentation.
Seems like a reasonable question to me. That's what I thought. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning.
By the way, we didn't talk about it yesterday, but what do you guys think about Arsenio Hall coming back to late night TV?
Well, I thought he was really successful last time around. I don't remember why he left.
I did too, but I think he failed is why he left. I think the ratings went down so low.
They said,
really? Is that what happened? I didn't remember that either.
I could be wrong, but that's what I remember.
Well, you could be right, but he certainly took his time coming back.
Yes.
Didn't he take off about 20 years?
Yes, he did.
He was raising his son, Bean.
That's what he says. That's true.
Yeah.
Speaking of raising his son, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday. I love this story so much, and I particularly love it because, you know, I always look for stories that make the most number of people feel bad.
Yep, that's your goal.
That's my thing. And we got a lot of guys out there who are, and we hear from them from time to time, particularly around singles party time. We hear from guys who go, Kevin and Bean, I'm a nice guy, I'm respectful, I work hard, I work on my appearance, but I can't find a lady. How many times have we heard that story?
All the time.
Right. Here's a story from the Daily Mail in Britain. Three men in Tennessee have fathered an astonishing 78 children.
Wow.
With 46 different women. Okay?
Is this a service they provide?
No. No. This story is in the news because they are in court. Two of the three are in court trying to get their child support payments reduced. Okay? Now, think about the young man out there who's listening right now who hasn't had sex in 2 years. Okay?
Right.
This is three guys that I'm going to tell you about who have 78 children with 46 different women. How many women do you have to have sex with to impregnate 46 of them?
Right. So that number that they have nailed must be way higher.
Astronomical. One of them, Desmond Hatchett, has 30 children with 11 women.
Oh, my God.
Terry Turnit, yes?
I don't feel at all bad for that guy that has to pay child support because there are ways to not do that.
Yes, of course. Yes. Okay. Terry Turnage has 23 children with 17 women, and Richard Colbert has 25 with 18.
Oh, Richard's a pussy.
Now, two of them, as I mentioned, they're in court in the process of trying to get their child support payments reduced. One of them, Mr. Turnage, pays between $6 and $9 to each mother a month.
Wait a minute.
Based on his earnings.
Based on his income and based on the number of kids he has.
And
yes.
He's trying to get that lowered?
He's trying to get that lowered because it's, well, $6 doesn't sound like much until you have to give it to 17 different women. Now you're talking some real cash. He also, by the way, has a very low income. It doesn't say how much because he's served prison terms for the last 3 years and has added 9 children in the last 3 years while he's been in and out of prison.
Can they not,
I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
At this point, you're not repopulating the earth.
SEAL Team
right.
6 should come in the middle of the night.
Snip, snip.
Snip, snip, right back out.
We mock China for their forced sterilization policies, but it may be time to investigate that in this country if you get to the point where you're having 15, 20,
That's
30 children.
It's got to be extreme, and then they have to take it to the court. Any court in the land would go, yeah, that's plenty.
Mr. Hatchett is the other guy who's requested that the court reduces his payments. He pays $1.49 per child per month and is currently in jail.
I want to see what they look like. I want to see what these women look like.
Oh, they're smooth, and the women are attractive.
Because I'm guessing no.
I agree.
One of the mothers has been living with Turnage for 8 years and recently just found out that he had 20 other children that she was totally unaware of. they were living together. It's not like, I mean, how do you have time to get out of the house and nail all these women and have all these kids and not have your live-in girlfriend know about it?
She's got blinders on. She's got her head in the sand.
Well, he's not dad of the year. It's not like he sees any of them ever. He puts a dollar in an envelope.
$1.49, Lisa.
$1.49 in an envelope and mails it off.
It ain't natural!
Imagine that conversation where that woman found out that her live-in boyfriend had 20 other kids she didn't know about. Where's that reality show?
But that can't possibly really be a full surprise, can it? I mean, like Lisa says, it takes a certain amount of time and effort and being away from home and all that to accomplish all of that.
I don't know, dude.
Wow.
I don't know.
They need to be studied, though. They have super sperm.
Yeah, how do you know? You know how I said I was faithful to you? All right, I cheated once. All right, more than once, but only. But I only have 20 kids on the positive side.
These numbers are just hard to even wrap your head around, aren't they?
It's astounding.
I mean, it really is. When you just do the math, just do the math and think about the amount of time you put in to make that happen.
Seriously.
It's crazy.
It's a documentary in the making.
But wait,
where is it?
Tennessee.
Tennessee, yeah. Yeah.
So good times. So you're, guys, so you're go out there and get it.
You're talking to the guys out there that have only slept with two girls and they're 27.
Right. And they're working, and they got a nice job and they own their own home.
They can't figure it out.
And they're presentable and they are just dying to take out anybody. Yes. Yeah. I was talking about the guy who in 3 years has made 9 children when he's in and out of prison.
Wow.
So please enjoy.
I wonder if they had conjugal visits and that's how he...
Usually has to be a wife, though. Usually has to be a wife for conjugal. So, dude, I don't know, but that's just, that's eye-opening right there.
Seems like a bit much. Got to be honest.
Yep, sure does.
Not really father of the year. I agree with that statement. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That's not really a question.
Well, I think it was. I said, shall we?
No!
P-Rod is going to be on the program today.
Yeah.
Talking about the X Games, which, believe it or not, are next week.
Really?
How about that?
Yep. Hard to believe.
Are you competing this year? Have you decided yet?
You know what? I'm done. I've had it.
Really?
Yeah.
You got no room in the trophy case.
Well, that's the thing. I would have to get a bigger house.
Right.
So, who wants to do that? We also have Bob Miller, play-by-play guy for the Los Angeles Kings, the Stanley Cup winning Los Angeles Kings. We have the phone-in topic is God told you to do something. And it can't just be, you know, love your neighbor and some of the more generic stuff. It has to be specific action that you took on behalf of God. The story that we have is a guy lighting his apartment on fire. Now, do we believe that God told him to do that? Not at all. No. Not in a million years.
But we don't know.
But he might believe it. These people,
right.
Look,
he
Noah believed God told him to build an ark, as crazy as that was. I mean, people do believe when they get messages from the Lord.
So we'll talk to you about that. We have Jimmy Fallon on the program today talking about his new CD, Blow Your Pants Off. We have the amazing Spider-Man world premiere tickets for you. Going to have a game in the 6 o'clock hour for you to win.
All right.
We have Benjamin Walker, who is Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Wow.
Coming up in about a half hour. And we have comedian Bill Burr.
Cool.
In the studio. So a very full show today. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Wednesday morning, Ralph Garman is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. And then Benjamin Walker, Abraham Lincoln himself from the new Vampire Hunter movie is going to be joining us. I'm very excited to talk to him.
That dude can swing an axe.
Yeah. You guys going to see this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, looks awesome.
Totally. Totally looks good.
I love vampire stories.
And you love Abraham Lincoln. Two best things in the world for you. Two great tastes that taste great together. Kevin, you've always told me that the Great Emancipator was your favorite president.
That's true.
Yeah.
You can't get Kevin to stop talking about American history during the songs.
Oh.
Insane.
What about his time in Springfield? Oh, is that better than the time in Washington? I don't know, Kevin. Yeah, but his law degree, you know, he was still splitting rails. Okay, Kevin, whatever with Lincoln. Can't get him to shut up.
That little girl wrote him a letter about how he looked better with a beard. What do you guys think about that? Did he make the right choice? Do you guys think he looks better with a beard?
Kevin always walk around here in a stovepipe hat.
I'm sorry. I like to stay current.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make sense, did it? Because that's not current.
Nope. Let's get to showbiz news. Well, sorry, ladies. Bobby Brown is off the market again.
What?
I know there were a lot of you that had dreams of grinding up various powders and snorting them. Off Bobby Brown's sweaty forehead. But no, he is married now to Alicia Etheridge. They got married in front of his 3-year-old, their 3-year-old son, Cassius. and three more of his kids.
All right.
In Hawaii last Monday, so congratulations.
Hopefully they'll have more kids.
Yeah, that'd be great. Ceremony happened a day after Bobby did a concert in Honolulu with New Edition. Those guys are still performing together, so. Love, however, does not always follow a smooth course. Just ask Johnny Depp. He and his longtime girlfriend, Vanessa Paradis, have separated.
They've been together forever, haven't they?
14 years.
Wow.
They have a 13-year-old daughter named Lily Rose and a 10-year-old son named Jack. But now the two have amicably separated, according to their press release, and asking that everyone respect their privacy. So, how much tail is Johnny Depp going to get?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
All
the tail. Nick Stahl's missing again. The star of Terminator 3 checked himself out of rehab against doctor's orders last week and has now disappeared. His wife is asking everyone to keep an eye out. I wonder if she's tacking posters to telephone poles.
It seems bad.
Yeah, especially when they check out of rehab and looks like they're on a mission. She said he's a good man and he wants to be well and everyone is desperately looking for him. So see Nick Stahl. Let his wife know, will you? Our buddy Adam Carolla in trouble with some folks.
Hard to believe.
Over comments he made yesterday in the New York Post where he said that men are funnier than women.
Here we go.
If Joy Behar or Sherry Shepherd was a dude, they'd be off TV, he said. They're not funny enough for dudes. What if Roseanne Barr was a dude? You think we'd know who she was? He did give some love to some female comedians, however. He said, of course, there's Sarah Silverman, Tina Fey, Kathy Griffin, super funny chicks, but if you're playing the odds, no, he said when it comes to funny women.
I don't agree with that at all.
That men are funnier than women?
Right.
There are not less women in comedy. That's true.
I don't even agree with that. I'm just trying to be safe.
I love women better than everything, except men are good, too. And I also love all races and creeds equally.
People are up in arms about this.
I mean,
the Ace Man is definitely getting some hate on.
They're up in vaginas, not just up in arms.
Exactly. To which I say, as I say about so many things, who cares what anyone thinks? I mean, this doesn't hurt anybody. If Adam Carolla thinks that, oh well, let him think it.
However, I think women, especially women who want to get into comedy, feel it's hard enough as it is to break into that because there is perhaps already a bias against women in comedy. And if people, high-profile people like Adam Carolla are doing stories about it in the news, it just reinforces that bias and makes things that much more difficult for them.
It's funny, just by a coincidence, our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show yesterday, Rob Delaney, wrote basically a rebuttal blog to that, talking about his experience when he had a TV show that was in production last year. All the funny people that he tried to hire were women he couldn't get because they were already working for somebody else and they were already too funny to leave and come to him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he was saying he had the opposite experience with so many great women in comedy right now.
As do I.
Adam claims in this story that he worked on a ton of shows with writing staffs. He said all the women on the writing staffs were not funny.
That's absurd. Well, I hope they were at least hot then.
He's trying to stir it up because he does that.
He said, they make you hire a certain number of chicks on writing staffs. If my daughter has a mediocre sense of humor, I'm going to tell her, just be a staff writer in a sitcom because they have to hire you, they can't really fire you, and you don't have to produce much. That'll be awesome. You know who is funny? Woody Allen's kid, his 24-year-old son, Ronan Farrow, that he had with Mia Farrow, sent out a lovely tweet to his dad on Father's Day. He said, wishing everyone a happy Father's Day, or as they call it in my family, happy brother-in-law day. See what he did there?
Oh, my God.
Zing! Zing!
That's funny.
It is funny. I don't know whether Woody Allen thought it was funny or not.
No, who cares?
Apparently that's a strained relationship between Woody and his son since he left his mother for his daughter.
Yeah.
Stepdaughter. Stepdaughter. Yeah, sure.
But still.
Yeah. Close enough, right?
Yep. Yeah. I'm sure Woody Allen will hear about it because he watches the news, but he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who uses Twitter. I know he doesn't use email at all.
No, I don't think he tweets.
I don't know how you get business done in Hollywood without using email, but he figures out a way to do it.
Well, he does his own thing. It's not like he needs to be in touch with anybody else. He's the guy in charge. Everybody's got to contact him. He doesn't need to contact anybody.
And in his defense, phones still work.
That's true.
Yeah.
You can still have conversations. So. And you know what? You can meet people, too. You can sit down and you can have a conversation face-to-face.
Yeah, you're talking
in person? See, all of this stuff is Bean doesn't like
to talk on the phone. He doesn't like to go out and meet people. So it's got to be email.
Without email, Bean would just wither up and die.
Right.
Yeah. And not a great debut for ABC's controversial new summer reality show, Glass House. Remember how desperate CBS was to stop them and how desperate ABC was to get it on the air?
I was watching the finals game. Boy, did they promote that a lot. All day Sunday, they promoted that.
Yeah. Turns out CBS had nothing to worry about because nobody's watching.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it debuted and the show went on as scheduled. Despite the restraining order CBS tried to get, the overnight ratings showed that it got lower ratings than last week's Castle rerun. And in the second half hour of the show, the viewership dropped as much as a million viewers from the first half hour to the second. So those who did tune in were not too enthralled with what they were watching.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Apparently not. Today's celebrity birthday is legendary actor Martin Landau is 81 years old today. Equally legendary musician Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys turned 70. Lionel Richie, he's 63. You know, he gets a little richer every time we play his
song. I've heard that. I'll have that ready next time.
Thank you. John Goodman is 60 years old today. Michael Anthony, formerly of Van Halen, now in the band Chickenfoot, turns 58. John Taylor of Duran Duran is 52. Nicole Kidman turns 45 years old today. What's she doing to herself, that Nicole Kidman? What's
going on? Bad things.
What's going on with that face?
She doesn't look good, and I'll tell you.
Lose your surgeon's number, Nicole.
I'll tell you, you know, she's done some great movies and projects over the years. That Hemingway movie that she just did on HBO was unwatchable. It was terrible.
Really?
Terrible.
Had Clive Owen, too. I like him a lot.
Yes. We were all sucked into that.
And it just, yeah. Not all of us. It wasn't good.
Robert Rodriguez, director. Of course, he gave us
Machete.
44 years old today. Twiggy Ramirez of Marilyn Manson's band. He's the bassist for him, 41 years old. Chris Mintz-Plasse from Superbad and other shows like Kick-Ass, 23 years old today. And Quentin Rampage Jackson, MMA fighter, turns 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 6.
Thanks so much for joining us here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. Your chance at world premiere tickets for Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man with the cast, coming up later on this hour. Also, Jimmy Fallon joins us and comedian Bill Burr. As we were just talking about a few minutes ago, Kevin cannot get enough of our 16th president. He is all about the Abe Lincoln.
Well, you know me. I love all the presidents.
You do.
But Abraham Lincoln stands above.
He's a scholar.
Yeah.
He's your favorite. And I have to tell you, as much of a Lincoln scholar as you are, Kevin, this must be gratifying that one of the untold stories of our former president is finally in the public. Because doesn't it seem like for years the government has been whitewashing the most important part of Lincoln's life, and that is his vampire hunting?
Dude, I've been flying that flag for my entire life. It's about time somebody paid attention other than me.
It's about time that story is told, and it will be told Friday. Abraham Lincoln, vampire hunter, opens up everywhere, and the former president is on the line with us right now, actor Benjamin Walker. Hi, Benjamin Walker. How are you?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Very good. Thank you.
We're delighted. We were just saying it's about time this story has been told. This is what, you know, when I was going to school, they redacted this from the lesson plan. They didn't even teach this part of history.
Yeah, they gloss over it pretty quickly, but it's time that it sees the light.
How difficult is it to play a guy that you've heard about, studied your whole life, you know, going to school, everybody knows and everybody has an opinion on and thoughts about Abraham Lincoln, and then you have to kind of forget all that, forget the historical figure, and just try to figure out a way to play him like a real dude?
Well, I mean, we did a lot of research on him, and he's one of the greatest American heroes of all time. I mean, it's not really that big of a stretch to also see him as an action hero.
It's also not like we have an A-B comparison. Like, we don't really watch Abraham Lincoln, the real guy, do anything.
Right, so we can't YouTube his old speeches or anything.
No, but I guess what I'm thinking is what has survived of Lincoln is the greatness, you know, is the Gettysburg Address and the Emancipation Proclamation and all that stuff. And it's hard for me, in my mind, to imagine that there was a time where he was a 20-year-old who was trying to get laid. I mean, he was just a regular dude at one point in his life, and you play him from the time he's young all the way up until he becomes president, right?
Right, and he was complicated and conflicted. I think as Americans, we put him on a pedestal, and we almost rob him of his humanity by worshiping him and holding him as sacred. But you're right, he was adolescent and goofy and funny and human and apparently also killed vampires.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that when he was the 16th president of the United States, vampires were going to take over the United States. They were ready to take over. And Abraham Lincoln stepped in and said, not on
right.
my
America
watch.
America was in turmoil.
Right.
Exactly.
This movie, we're talking to actor Benjamin Walker on the Kevin Bean Show about his Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. This movie, I think, made a little bit of history last week. Is this true, Ben, that it was the first time a movie has been world premiered on a battleship?
That's right, on an aircraft carrier. That's right. USS Abraham Lincoln, no less.
How about that? And it's in the Middle East, right?
That's right.
So when they told you, hey, we're gonna do the world premiere, you were like, yeah, this is going to be great. We're going to do it in a great theater. And they were like, no, we're going to fly to the Middle East, and we're going to get on an aircraft carrier. And you were like, okay.
But, you know, it was such an honor to be welcomed there among the sailors. And we went to Djibouti and Bahrain and meet those servicemen and women. They don't get a lot of entertainment out there, so it was an honor to be there and show them a good time and get to meet so many different and fascinating people. It was a privilege.
And you were, if I saw this correctly from the group photo, you were dressed as Lincoln for that event, right?
Yeah. When we were on the USS Lincoln, we did the whole makeup and everything. And for a minute there, I was commander of that boat.
Is that right?
My boat.
until your orders weren't being followed, and then you realized maybe not.
Yeah, exactly. I said, I got to sit in the captain's chair, and I said to the CO on deck, I said, well, as commander, I think we should all go home. And he said, that's not funny.
He can't ignore an order from the president. You're the commander-in-chief.
Right.
Hey, from what I understand about this movie, and the trailers are awesome. It really, really does look great, Ben. You guys should be very proud of it. But you are playing it absolutely straight, right? As if it is real historical truth. It's not. There's no wink to the audience or anything like that. It's not supposed to be wacky. It's the real deal, right?
No, that'd be ridiculous. And it'd also be disrespectful. I mean, yes, it is a ridiculous premise.
Uh-huh.
But the joke is in the title, and that's where it ends. We tried to make a serious, entertaining period thriller that happens to have some vampires in it.
It looks like you wield the axe pretty well. It looks like you're pretty accomplished at it.
Well, thank you. I had some good teachers, guys like Justin Eden, Don Lee, just brilliant stuntmen who kicked my ass and then had the balls to stand there while I swung an axe at their head.
Well, we couldn't be more excited about this movie. And, man, I think it's going to do great things for you. I mean, I always wonder what it must be like for an actor like you who gets a role like this. I mean, it's a role of a lifetime, really. You don't know what it's going to be like when you wake up on Monday. I mean, I feel like everything's going to be different because people will know you now. That's very exciting.
Maybe. I mean, this gig is a crapshoot. I'm just lucky that I have health insurance for now, and we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah. You got to keep your expectations low. I like that.
Exactly.
Good perspective. Well, congratulations on the role. We can't wait to see it, and thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Nice to see you.
We appreciate it. It's called Abraham Lincoln, The Vampire Hunter, and it opens Friday everywhere.
Hey, would this be a good time for us to open up the telephone lines, by the way, to give away some of the amazing Spider-Man tickets?
Sure.
We have a special guest stopping by the radio station. We're very excited because he's not here yet, but he's going to be joining us in about 5 minutes or so. Our old friend Roland is going to be stopping by. Have we met Roland in person before?
I believe he's been in, yeah.
All right. Well, he is he's going to help us give away amazing Spider-Man tickets with Spider-Man trivia today. If you've got Spider-Man trivia, give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067, and we'll give you tickets to the world premiere with the stars of The Amazing Spider-Man. I think you're going to have to try to stump Roland. I think that's the plan,
yes,
right?
If Roland does not get stumped, he gets the tickets, which he wants very badly.
Oh, wow.
But now the difference between minutiae and trivia is a big deal. Like, what color socks was so-and-so wearing in such-and-such an episode? No one could ever know that. So that's minutia. We don't want that. We just want trivia.
Trivia,
so
right.
Call down.
1-800-520-1067. That's our telephone number here at the world-famous KROQ. You can also email any of us. We got a chance right now to read some of your comments on things that have been going on the show here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we start with this. This is from a depressed listener, he says, named Adam. I'm listening to the podcast from yesterday's show, and I just got to the part where you're talking about the car chase with a guy arrested in Hollywood who gave this interview.
I am Vartan Asnayan, and I got swag.
Where are you from?
I'm from Hollywood, California, Yerevan.
And why'd you lead cops on this chase?
Because I got swag. I wanted to make it look good.
Well, right after that part aired on the podcast was when my 2-year-old daughter walked into the room, grabbed a pile of clean laundry, threw it on the ground. When I asked her why she did that, her answer was, because I got swag.
No.
F my life, depressed listener Adam. So apparently that is going to be, that's going to be the new answer for anything, is because I got swagged.
Maybe you should be a little more choice. Have a little better taste when you're letting your kid listen to radio.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Hacking Vegas writes in, I'm driving a cab in Las Vegas. I see marriages end almost daily. Remember we had that had that story, right? The one that probably sticks out the most for me is when I picked up a lady going to the airport. She was crying when she got into my car. She told me that she was leaving her husband of less than 12 hours because after he put her to bed, he went down to gamble a little bit. She couldn't sleep, so she decided to go join him. After searching all the tables, she found him at one of the bars making out with another guy.
Oh, wow.
She said she threw the ring at him and told him to enjoy his honeymoon with his new boyfriend. You gotta love Vegas. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did experiencing it. Hacking Vegas. That's look, that's a bad surprise if you've been married less than 12 hours. He's making out with anybody, right?
Yeah, of course.
On the topic of four-hour boners, you guys have to hear this story. It was hilarious to listen to your listeners, but I once had the brilliant idea. Smack in the middle of UCLA finals weeks, we were all cramming for the end of our quarter exams, and I offered my buddies what I told them were energy pills to stay up all night. Instead, I gave them Viagra. You should have seen their faces at our 8 a.m. final when they were blushing. I couldn't resist to laugh my ass off. How hilarious, by the way, to make them show up with a boner, you know, to take their test.
That is funny.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm a faithful listener. I was just listening to Thursday's show when you guys were talking about the parade for the Kings. I'm a big hockey fan, too, and I want you to know that my brother had a VIP pass to the parade because of the company he works for. Afterwards, he texted me a picture of himself not only touching but hugging and kissing the Stanley Cup. So suck it, Kevin. P.S. I saw a bunch of people at the park playing Ultimate Frisbee this weekend. It was like watching a special ed P.E. class play a pretend game. That sounds about right. We got a ton of emails. Kevin, I think you were out this day. We were talking about the things that you hate that everyone else likes.
Yes, I was out.
Like for me, in massages, for instance. I hate massages. I don't like anybody to ever touch me. There are people who adore massages, who love them. Ralph says it's one of his favorite things in the world. We got so many great emails on this. Sarah writes in, I would call him, but I cannot talk about my weakness long without vomiting. Literally, it's pickles. I hate pickles. Everything about them, ooh, ooh. Actually, it's ooh. Gross, gross, gross. Oops, here comes the upchuck. Gotta go. Even saying the word pickles makes her vomit.
Wow. I hate them too, but they don't make me throw up.
Was it a texture thing with most of the people that called in?
A lot of it was.
Yeah. Some of it was for food. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I hate buttons. I don't know why. I don't like touching them. I never wear them. I Googled it, and apparently it has a name, which I can't even begin to pronounce, by the way. Cuomopomophobia. Weird, right? I'm with Lisa, by the way. Raisins suck. Can you imagine hating buttons?
When you're a little kid, how did your parents dress you? Everything has buttons.
Yeah. John says, lobster and crab, the most bland-tasting thing. I am convinced that people just pretend to like it. Also, you too. How's that for a weird P.S.? Corbin writes in, believe it or not, the thing that I absolutely hate is chocolate. I have yet to meet another person that shares my disdain for chocolate. Isn't that the strangest, right? You would think.
No kidding.
Bacon is so disgusting, says Natalie. It's too greasy and chewy. Ooh, I hate how it pops while I was cooking. Any food that pops cannot be a good sign. C. Molina writes, I hate butterflies, hummingbirds, and cats. I've been attacked by all three. And what the F is a hummingbird anyway? It's an effing attack bird with a built-in weapon. F butterflies, cats, and hummingbirds.
Well, those butterflies, man, they can really do damage.
Attack butterflies, yeah.
And finally, Kevin and Bean, Amber writes, I am an early morning listener to the show. The other day, you gave Lisa her choice of two stories to start off the program. Well, she chose the one about the groom having sex with the waitress at his wedding reception, which was fine and all, but I feel like we got cheated by not hearing the one about the guy who called 911 over a deli sandwich gone wrong. What's a girl got to do? Amber writes in.
All right.
Yeah. This is the other story that we didn't have a chance to talk about, but this is true. This just happened this past week. This is a man in Connecticut who is calling 911 for reasons that will become obvious on this tape.
That's the 911 location emergency.
Well, hi, emergency. This is Ronald Glenn. I'm at Grateful Deli, and I specifically asked for little turkey and little ham and a lot of cheese and a lot of mayonnaise, and they're giving me a hard time with them. And she stopped by and just
Who is this?
This is Ron McGlynn.
By the way, his name is Rother. His first name is Rother. R-O-T-H-E-R. Rother McLennan, calling 911.
At least he's really slow to get it out when he's wasting her time.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see how she handles this.
I was just just wondering if you could just
You're calling 911 because you don't like the way that they're making your sandwich?
Exactly.
So then don't buy it.
Okay.
Just walk away and don't buy it if they don't want to make it the way you want it.
It seems like they're not listening to me. They put down anything they want and then they expect me to pay for it. You know? So.
Right. And if in the future, you can stay there or stay outside. I'll send somebody.
Okay.
In the future, just don't buy the sandwich.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay?
I'll look at it before I buy it.
All right?
Thank you, ma'am.
Yep. Bye. She's sending a
card. Why would she send somebody? That?
Yes, I'll send someone. Stay where you are or wait outside. I'll send someone.
Units, we got a guy who doesn't get a sandwich he wants.
Doesn't it seem like Hartford, Connecticut is a big enough city where the police shouldn't have time to respond to 911 deli emergencies?
I don't care if there's no other emergency going on. You don't send somebody over for a sandwich.
You can write to any of us. Our email addresses are at krock.com. Don't forget, you can also get in contact with us through the Kevin and Bean Facebook page or on Twitter at Kevin and Bean. Your tickets to the world premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man coming up next after. Roland?
Yes.
You're
give
here.
Me the tickets.
You're here. Well, we're not going to give
yes,
you
the only reason I would stoop to seeing you in person is so you can just give me my tickets.
You're awfully sweaty. Are you okay? Did you run
well,
here?
Well, it's hot in here, isn't it?
It's not really.
Pretty cold.
Well, it's hot really inside hot. My skin.
Okay. did your mom drop you off?
No.
Did you drive yourself?
No.
How did you get here?
Did your mom drop you off?
There are things called buses.
No. Hello. Oh, you took the bus. Okay, maybe that's why you're sweaty. Okay. All right, let's talk about
this
amazing...
I didn't come here to be insulted.
No, I was just asking.
I came here
just worried
to collect
about
my Amazing Spider-Man premiere tickets.
Did somebody
Thank
promise you.
You
those tickets?
That's what I was told. Okay. I said, if you come here and make an appearance on the show, we'll give you tickets. And so I'm here for tickets.
No, you heard incorrectly. What we said is we'd give you a chance to earn the tickets because we have tickets to the world premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Is this
Regency
some creepy
Village
sexual
Theater
thing you're going
to
ask me to do?
No. You see it on Thursday the 28th instead of the rest of us, who will see it on Tuesday, July 3rd. We're going to play Stump Roland here.
What?
And if you... Stump Roland. Listeners are on the line right now, Roland. They're going to call in with their Amazing Spider-Man questions. If you cannot be stumped, you win the tickets. If a number of people do stump you, we put them in a drawing and one of them wins the tickets. You got that?
What number of people have to stump me for me not to get the tickets?
Well, just one.
One.
One question, I'm just walking out of here?
Well, because you claim to be a huge
off?
Amazing Spider-Man fan.
No, but hopefully you'll stick around even if you lose the first question. I mean, really, that would
I
be
will
the thing.
For tickets.
Well, maybe...
All right.
What is this? Sounds shady to me.
520.
Can I get the FCC on the phone?
No,
this
you
seems
no. Sorry.
Can you stop rolling? Can you stop rolling? Let's all stop rolling now.
Richard Lester used a lot of the footage that Richard Donner shot for Superman 2.
All right. I'm not
that
sure
is true.
How that relates, but. Lester totally ripped off
Richard Donner.
Let's start with line number one. Let's get Ruben on the line and see how he does. Ruben, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. Stump Roland.
Hello. I was just wondering which of Peter's high school friends is now Venom?
Which of Peter's high school friends is now Venom? You're not talking about Eddie Brock, the original Venom, right?
Oh, no. High school friend.
Flash Thompson.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Yeah,
that is right.
Look wow. at you.
Give me
know.
My tickets. Well, give me got, my damn tickets
we gotta,
now.
We got to take some more calls.
I jumped through your hoop like a monkey. Now give me my tickets.
We got to talk to Dwayne and get his question. Dwayne?
Yes?
What is your question for Roland?
Yeah, Peter Parker gave up his Spider-Man identity to a friend of his. What was his name and what was the superhero name he used before he became Spider-Man?
That sounds like two questions.
Wow.
Wow. Part one, part two.
Wait, he gave up his identity. Are you talking about when he was cloned with Ben Reilly?
Maybe.
Ben Reilly, the clone who became the Scarlet Spider?
Could be.
Two for two.
All right, Dwayne, thank you for calling. By the way, Roland, what are your thoughts?
Be gone with you.
Ralph is always trying to tell us that lots of women want to play this game and lots of women want to win these tickets, but every single person on the line is a dude. What's your thought about that, Roland?
I think that dudes... make up the majority of the, sci-fi fantasy comic book community.
That's true. All right.
Your friend may be mistaken.
Let's try Carlos. Carlos is on line six right now. So far, by the way, the tickets are Roland's. Let's see how he does against Carlos.
Hey, Carlos.
Hi.
What's your question for Roland?
All right, Roland, what was the project that Peter Parker's parents were working on before they died?
Is, a project
is this from Ultimate Spider-Man?
No, it's not from Ultimate Spider-Man.
Parents Peter Parker was working on...
Come on, Roland.
Was it a Double Stuff Oreos?
No.
I don't know the answer to this
one.
Oh,
no!
Shut up with your O's!
The answer is they were working on the Gamma Project that created the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, how about that? That's so sad for you, Roland.
It seems like something you would know, Roland.
I must have missed that issue.
Wow. Carlos is in the running. Hang on. Let's try Brett. Brett's on line 3, 1-800-520-1067. Still trying to stump Roland. Brett, go ahead.
All right, Roland. Who did Spider-Man seek the help of when he first got his powers? It was another scientist.
Another scientist that he sought help from.
After he became Spider-Man, all right?
Reed Richards.
Roland, come on.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
We have no idea. All right, sorry, dude.
Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four.
Of course, yeah. Yes. All right, I think we only have time for one more, Kevin. Which one do you want to go to?
Let's do Paul.
Paul is on line 4. Paul, you're on with Roland. Go ahead. Good luck.
As you know, Spider-Man first appeared in Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Yes.
Who is the artist for Amazing Fantasy number 16?
Jack Kirby.
Nope.
Who was it?
It was Paul Lee, me. Hi!
Wait, what? What's
really?
Happening? What's
you?
Happening now?
It was Paul Lee, friend of the show, me.
Wait. Paul Lee, who does artwork for us. This
right.
is you.
Yes.
And you drew number 16?
Yes, I did. 1995.
What?
Wow. 1995. They took a long time off between issues.
Yes, he did.
What? Roland doesn't seem impressed, Paul. I have news.
Worst
news
trivia question ever.
all right, Paul. Well, thank you for calling. I think you're just bragging, not really trying to win tickets. But thank you very much for the call.
Roland, as far as I'm concerned. did he not?
Who else did he stump?
Did he stump Roland or not?
I don't know. That just didn't seem like a legitimate question to me. That seemed more like he was just calling in to brag that he drew a Spider-Man. I don't know about that. I don't know about you guys, but as far as I'm concerned...
I have no horse in this race because I don't care about this program. I would just like my tickets.
Let's go back to... Was it Carlos? Let's go back to Carlos.
Carlos,
how about you, instead of Roland, going to the world premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man? How about that?
Yes!
You win, my friend.
Yes! Oh, my God. I've been trying to win tickets for... Oh, my God. Yes!
I wish you will. I wish you ill, sir.
suck it, Roland.
Let's all stop rolling.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56. Comedian Bill Burr joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And coming up right after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to the second funniest Jimmy in late night. Jimmy Fallon will be joining us as well. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, speaking of funny Jimmys, did you see Jimmy Kimmel the other night when Gary Oldman did his commercial?
I did not know.
For Actors Against Athletes Acting.
No.
He says, I think Gary Oldman speaks for all of us when he says he's tired of seeing athletes just because they're famous get cast in movies.
Sure.
And so he did a public service announcement. It's Gary Oldman, legendary, brilliant actor, British actor, on a basketball court talking about the fact that he has trained for many years as an actor and able to do what he does. Just like an athlete trains for many years to be able to play a basketball game.
Right.
He said, however, I would not try to join an NBA team and play the game, and I would appreciate it if you did not try to be in movies and try to act, because you can't do what I do. Here's a little taste of the audio of the commercial. It's very funny. You can find it online.
And just as I, Gary Oldman, actor, would never try and join an NBA team just because I'm famous, I, Gary Oldman, would very much appreciate it if professional basketball players would stay the f*** out of movies! Who the hell told you you could act? The director on your Powerade commercial? You're not actors! Some of you can't even speak English! You suck! Get it? You suck!
Yeah, he's very, very passionate about this cause.
But there's no Shazam if Gary Oldman gets his way. Then what?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. What indeed.
Speaking of actors who don't deserve success, Forbes magazine has released its list of the year's highest paid actresses. You're going to be angry. I'm telling you, you're going to be angry. Let's go from number 10 to number 1. Jennifer Aniston was 10th on the list. She made $11 million this year.
Wow.
It's so funny the world we live in now. You see that number go, oh, man, that seems low.
Someone made $11 million for a year's worth of work. Yeah. We're all going, oh, she sounds kind of underpaid. Oh, that's a shame for her. She only made $11 million.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Kristen Wiig made $12 million. She was number 9 on the list. Meryl Streep made a little more than $12 million, put her at number 8. At number 7, Sarah Jessica Parker made $15 million.
On what?
Yeah, she didn't even do anything last year, did she?
Wasn't she in
one of those New Year's Valentine Arbor Day movies?
She was in something. Yeah, I don't remember.
All right, go ahead.
Julia Roberts was 6th on the list, made $16 million.
Wow.
Charlize Theron made $18 million, making her number 5 on the list.
It's not enough.
Angelina Jolie made $20
million. Wow.
Sandra Bullock made $25 million.
I don't like where this is headed.
Cameron Diaz, number 2 on the list, $34 million is what she made.
Are you kidding me?
I wish I was. $34 million.
Do not say the name I'm thinking.
Number one on the list.
Do not say it.
You want to take a shot?
Yeah, Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart is the number one money-making actress for the past 12 months.
That sounds kind of crazy.
She made $34.5 million.
Oh, come on. Does she have a profit participation in those Twilight movies or something?
I don't know, I mean, financial breakdown.
Can't be her salary.
No! Between the Twilights and the Snow White and the Huntsman movie and
my God,
everything else she's done, $34.5 million is what she earned.
Wow. You can't
buy a personality no matter how much money you have.
Yeah, but you can pull your yacht up next to personality and climb all over it.
That's true.
You sure can. Famous words of David Lee Roth.
That may be the saddest story you've had this year, Ralph.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crushing.
She's making more than Angelina Jolie and more than Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Much more.
Hey, you guys going to go out and get your new Adidas slave sneakers?
What?
You guys gonna get those
slave sneakers?
Oh, come on, Kevin! Everybody's getting them.
That sounds bad.
Everybody's doing it. Yeah, Adidas has a little egg on their face this week when they had to withdraw their newest line of sneakers because here's the premise: it's a sneaker, right?
Right.
And then it's got an orange shackle that goes around your ankle, and then it's got a rubber chain that goes from that shackle to the shoe.
Right. Yeah!
So it looks like you're a slave, basically.
Why?
Because they thought it would be so hilarious to make these sneakers and then say, we got a sneaker game so hot you lock your kicks to your ankles. See, so people don't steal your kicks because they're so cool. Well, several prominent black leaders are saying, hey, those look like the chains we used to wear when we were slaves. I am not amused by your sneaker, Adidas.
Adidas is
pulling them off the market.
Didn't they have, a black guy, but B, anyone with a brain and a conscience who works at Adidas who says, maybe let's not replicate what we brought slaves from Africa on the boat in?
Adidas claims they never dawned on them that someone might relate these shoes to slavery. They thought it was just a fun novelty.
Wow.
Well, other black leaders are calling it culturally insensitive.
Yes.
Saying, hey, you know, most of the people who buy these sneakers are black kids to play basketball in, and it looks a little inappropriate to have them with chains around their ankles. Adidas, thanks, but no thanks.
Adidas had this comment.
We are deeply sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry.
Yeah. Jesse Jackson, by the way, one of the people not pleased.
Well,
Adidas said, we apologize if people are offended by the design. Look, I usually accuse everyone of being overly sensitive.
Right.
But in this particular case, when you look at these sneakers, it's ridiculous.
It is crazy.
The fact that nobody came up with that from Adidas and said, hey, a little red flag here we might want to think about.
Hey, you know, a lot of black kids buy sneakers, and these sure look an awful lot like the chains that I saw in Roots when I watched that miniseries. I'm just saying.
I'm sorry I did that.
I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Just saying some people might draw a connection.
That's a terrible idea.
Between the slavery and the black kids wearing shackles around their ankles.
Kevin, I wonder if...
Anyone else? Anyone else feel that in the room? No? No? Is it me? All right. Well, then, let's put it out
there.
Let's
go with it.
Call Foot Locker. We're shipping.
Kevin, you think Aunt Jemima will be forced to wear them now? Because
stop
she's a favorite slave woman, if I remember correctly.
How dare you?
Stop it. All right, give us some background on Mrs. Butterworth. Is she a slave woman?
Oh, Mrs. Butterworth. Sorry, I got that wrong.
Has nothing to do with these sneakers.
Why would you think Mrs. Butterworth was a slave woman?
Let's not turn this on me. Adidas made a huge mistake. Let's focus on that.
You are the Adidas of radio.
Also. How dare you?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Mintz-Plasse from Superbad, from Kick-Ass, 23 years old today. Singer Grace Potter of Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. She's a lovely.
She's so good.
She is a lovely, adorable, pretty, talented person.
You heard that new album yet, Ralph? You'll like it.
I have not.
Super good.
29 years old today. Nobel for Grace Potter, by the way?
Sure. Yeah, why not?
I think so. Twiggy Ramirez of Marilyn Manson fame is 41 years old. Actor Josh Lucas, also known as the poor man's Matthew McConaughey. He is 41 years old. Robert Rodriguez, the director, is 44 years old.
This is Machete.
Hey, Machete. Nicole Kidman is 45. John Taylor of Duran Duran is 52. Michael Anthony from Van Halen and Chickenfoot is 58. John Goodman celebrates his 60th birthday today. Lionel Richie is 63 years old today.
95 PGC at 432-9595. All conversations on the air, of course, are strictly confidential. That's one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his
songs.
What happened?
Why isn't that a song?
Why does it say songs?
I don't know.
But it did in
it
our.
It used to.
I don't know.
It always used to.
I will fix it.
He gets more Richie every time we play one of his
songs.
Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys, is 70. What a day for Bean. Brian Wilson and Lionel Richie.
Yeah, no kidding.
Born today. It's like a national holiday. And actor Martin Landau turns 81 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Hello. Hello, my name is Jimmy Fallon. With my hair back and forth.
Dropped out of school, college, and I went to L.A. to join the Groundlings.
Here's some election news. A new poll found that President Obama's approval rating is lowest in Idaho. Probably has to do with the Obama's new campaign slogan, potatoes suck. The most fun thing in the world having your own talk show is like you get to go out and do comedy in front of, you know, live crowds and get, you know, it's immediate feedback, which is why I really love.
So stay winning, my gods and goddesses.
Thank you, Chili's menus, for showing how many calories are in your food. I'm in a Chili's. What part of I don't give a crap do you not understand?
One of America's top comedians. He's also a talk show host, Jimmy Fallon!
It's been a while since Jimmy Fallon has joined us on the Kevin and Bean Show, but we are delighted to welcome him now. Hi, Jimmy. How are you, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
It's going great. I have to tell you. Yeah, as a good Christian program like we are, I'm not comfortable talking about any CD called Blow Your Pants Off. That's just offensive, Fallon. Come on.
I know, but you guys got to change your format. I mean, really. The whole idea of this is it's so good that your pants will be blown off of your body when you play it.
So it's not something you came up with. It's just something you observed.
Yeah, exactly. I can't change science.
I see.
Right. It's too much comedy for clothes to remain on. I understand. Here's what I'll say about Jimmy Fallon, and I do enjoy your show very much, is no one seems to be having more fun on television than you do. Like, you've been doing that job for years now, Jimmy, but there's such obvious glee. Like, I almost get the feeling sometimes you can't believe that you're doing a late night network television show.
Sometimes it is like that. You go like, this is weird. Like, but I mean, it's crazy experiences. I mean, these aren't just like normal, fun, goofy things. But, like, either I'll be doing a sketch with Will Ferrell or I'm singing a song with Paul McCartney or something. And you're going like, what is going on? Like, this is just, how can you not have fun?
Let's play a little bit of the Paul McCartney. This is Scrambled Eggs, just a clip of this from the new Jimmy Fallon album. Of course, Scrambled Eggs, famously the original title of Yesterday. Here's what they did with it.
Scrambled Eggs. Oh, my baby, how I love your legs. Not as much as I love scrambled eggs. Oh, we should eat some scrambled eggs.
That's beautiful.
waffle fries.
And then it goes into this. How does something like that work with Paul McCartney? Are you nervous at all to suggest that you're going to waste his time with a song like that?
Oh, completely, yeah. I mean, if you zoomed in, there's so much sweat on my face right there as I'm singing that. I'm just like, I'm just so nervous. I went in, he was a musical guest on Saturday Night Live that weekend, and he was just going to come on and talk. And so I went up to his dressing room to have a pre-interview, and I said, hey, Paul, I said, I just want to go over what we're going to be talking about on the show. He goes, yeah, I think we should just have like a fun chat. You know, we'll have a fun chat. I go, great, we'll have a fun chat. It'll be great. I go, but... Mm-hmm. I also wrote this sketch that I thought that you should just sing called Scrambled Eggs. You know, that was the original title of Yesterday. Like, what if you did the whole song as a tribute to food and different, you know, and he goes, yeah, I think we should just do a fun chat. All right, he goes, all right, we'll sing it for me, sing it for me. So I go, all right, great. So now I have to sing in front of Paul. So I start singing, like, scrambled eggs. I'm like, yeah, I love your legs, but not as much as I love scrambled eggs. I'll have you tried scrambled eggs. Cut to... His head is over my shoulder reading the lyrics, going like, waffle fries. And I go, great, so you want to do it? He goes, only if you do it with me.
Was that, wow, a dream come true for you. Was that your most awkward pitch, or was it Bruce Springsteen with Whip My Hair? Which one did you feel the worst about?
I mean, Springsteen was a fun one because that kind of opened the door for us. So we did the thing with Springsteen, like, and the manager wanted me to get on the phone with Bruce. I go, to explain the idea of the bag, okay. So that was nerve-wracking. So I'm on the phone with Bruce, and I go, I want to do a duet. I do an impression of Neil Young, and he goes, and I want to have do a duet with you of Willow Smith's Whip My Hair. And he goes, I am not familiar with that song. I am not familiar with that song. I go, no, that's okay. The original goes, I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. I go, but my version would be slowed down. It'd be more Neil. It'd be like, whip my hair back and forth. And then I want you to come in and go, you gotta whip your hair, you know. And so he starts laughing. He goes, I love it. I'm in. He goes, well, wait, I got an idea. I go, okay. He goes, what if I dress up like I used to look in the 70s?
Oh, my God. It couldn't get any better.
Yeah, I go, you're pitching me on that. I go, of course. We'll get you a beard. We'll get you a hat. Like, and then he came out, and if you listen to the CD, you can hear, like, the audience doesn't quite realize that it's really Bruce Springsteen.
Right. Yeah.
It's incredible.
And that's what's so brilliant about these songs, and they all go viral. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable how many of these things you've had. Real quick, I know we don't have much time with you, Jimmy, but Slow Jam's the news.
Yeah.
Now, you've been doing it with Brian Williams. You've done a few of those, and they're great. How did you get President Obama to come out there with you slow jamming the news with the Roots playing? I mean, it was insane. How does something like that – how many layers do you have to go through to get the president to sing with you?
It's so crazy. It's like we just had a crazy year. We got a call from the White House to do a sketch with the president based on his initiative was to not to raise the college loans, the interest rates on college.
Yeah, and
loans.
You were doing a live show down at a college in Virginia or something like that when he showed up, right?
So I said, I'll go anywhere for the president. I'll do whatever he wants, of course. So they go, well, I said, they go, he might be in North Carolina. I said, well, if I'm going to North Carolina, can we just do a whole show from there? And they go, let me call you back.
So wow.
White House calls us back and they go, I think he's in. He wants to do it. They go, but don't tell anybody, you know, that we're doing this because we have the Secret Service and all this stuff. We have to sweep the college and
what
make sure
the hell?
No, it got crazy. And they go, so we had a code name. We kept calling it Bieber. The Bieber show? Is Bieber coming? And we couldn't say the, you know, the Obama word. And then we sent him Slow Jam, and they only had like one note, really. You know, cause, you know, I after working on Saturday Night Live, I kind of realized what you can go, what you can't do, what's too much and what's too edgy or whatever.
Did you have a rehearsal, or was that just done live on the spot?
We had one quick rehearsal. The president gets there, and we go into a room with the writers. Bashir and Diallo are the writers. He knows them. Like they know everything. The president knows where he's going to be, who's with him, how tall people are, how much they weigh.
What?
You know, he knows everything.
That's so scary.
No, it's frightening. And he goes, okay, we're going to slow jam the news. Okay, well, so we do the slow jam, and at the end, normally with Brian Williams, Brian Williams ends my slow jam with, he goes, "Oh yeah," and so we're rehearsing, and the president, President Obama, goes, "Oh yeah." You don't want to give me a little bit more spice, something?
You gave him a note?
I gave him a note, and he wouldn't take it.
Well, you can hear these songs we've been talking about. Also, Walk of Shame, your hilarious song with Dave Matthews. Your Eddie Vedder Balls in Your Mouth duet is on there. You singing Friday with Stephen Colbert. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. It is so funny. It's called Blow Your Pants Off. It's available on CD. And, of course, you can download it as well. Jimmy Fallon, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon on NBC. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Always great to catch up with you. It's been too long.
Thanks. Great. I mean, for years and years, I've been loving you guys. So thank you so much for everything, and thanks for having me back on.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You bet, man. Good luck. Bye-bye. 106.7
K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBean Show. At 7:32, we're running a little bit late. We need to let our affiliates know that we're going long.
We actually lost those affiliates. But let's also drop the big intro and get right to our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, funny man Bill Burr joins us.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
I don't know why it feels like it's been a long time since we've seen you. Has it? Or am I just...
I think it might be.
It's been a minute, right?
I think it might be. I'm trying to think, what was the last Boston sports team you were trashing me?
I'm sure it was Kevin and the Celtics.
Was it the Celtics?
I'm sure it was the Celtics, yeah.
Bill is going to be at the Ontario Improv next weekend, the weekend of June 29th. Tickets available just $25 through OntarioImprov.com. Of course, your Celtics came very close to being in the NBA Finals this year, Bill. That must have broken your heart to see that 7-game series that they lost.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't think that they would get that far. That was like the most heart I've seen a Celtic team have. But I'm a huge basketball fan, but the NBA drives me nuts.
Does it?
The nicest thing I can say is I think it's a little finessed.
Finessed.
I think it's massaged. It's just
that means refereeing.
Well, I mean, it's not like they didn't have a mobbed up ref, and then they did the Oswald. He acted alone. There's nothing to see here. It's like, if there's two people at work hooking up on the down low, everybody knows 3 days in. You can just tell by their body language. If you're a professional ref and you're on a crew, how long before you know somebody's shaving points?
Well, let me ask you about that, because obviously lots of people, particularly for this finals, have had a lot to complain about with the refs. And it sucks as a sports fan because you never want anything decided by officiating. You just don't. But is it, in your opinion, Bill, and I don't know how much esteemed opinion, is it the league is passing down, here's who we want to win, or is it just refs who have an individual agenda? What's happening? What's causing this?
I don't know, but I would say that there's always like weird things. Like say game one, when the Celtics played Miami, and this by no means like changed the outcome of the series or anything like that, but when they called those three technicals on the Celtics like within 2 minutes, it was just so personal. It's like, what did the Celtics do like in April that pissed you off? Like, this was, it was so, maybe one of those was a technical, you know what I mean? But, like, certainly not, you know, Doc going, like, come on, man, what's going on? And then you tee him up, that type of thing. I would say the last time Celtics played the Lakers in the finals, in the fourth quarter, you call 12 fouls on the Celtics and 5 on the Lakers.
The Celtics were fouling more.
It's just, I'm not expecting you to agree with me, but it's like you're giving a team 24 unguarded points in the fourth quarter, and it's like one of those things. Once again, I would never take a championship away, but I'm just saying, as a fan, if I'm going to watch my team lose, I want to see them
get beat.
Jump shot, dunk, fast break. I don't want to see them sitting there, foul. What's his face? Rashid got a reputation foul, which is cool during the regular season, but in Game 7, I thought that was a little bush league. And forget about that 2002 Sacramento Kings series.
We're not going that far, are we?
Really? I mean, just come on, man. You're going to sit there? Dude, they gamble with each other. They beat each other up on planes. They bring guns to the arena. It's a traveling like gambling ring. It's hilarious.
Let me ask you this question.
It's like wrestling.
Is it possible that things are happening so fast? And in my opinion, this has always been true.
I got it. I got an anecdote for that.
But let me finish. In my opinion, this has always been true in that the NBA, really, you could call a foul either way on every play. You really could. You could call a charge or a block.
But be consistent,
But you can say that in the NFL. NFL, you can call holding on every play. And the officiating in the NFL is way better. Light years better.
Yeah, I agree.
Dude, I'll tell you one.
Okay,
I was watching a game, all right? Kobe's already got 2 fouls on him. He, you know, I don't know, heat of the game, he hacks this guy across both forearms for his 3rd foul, second quarter. You know he's going to the bench. So they call the foul because it was so obvious. Then they have like a meeting for 90 seconds, and then they come back and they give the foul to some bum standing next to him. And it's just like, what were you just talking about for the last 90 seconds. Now, this is stupid for me to put this out there like that.
But you think they were saying, hey, I saw so-and-so foul?
I think they're going, dude, that's Kobe. Ratings are going to plummet.
Really?
Dude, the other guy was just standing there. He hacked the guy across both forms.
It was wrong a lot, and it does look suspicious.
In that particular case, Bill, I know what the one you're talking about, they gave the foul to a guy in the stands. And I just thought that was just, that's inappropriate,
the churro
right?
guy. That was ridiculous.
All I know is I've never watched a sport where, like, it seems like half a dozen times a game, the announcer's going like, oh, I don't know what they saw there.
Right.
All right, Rondo, bringing it up to court, and they just move on. So,
how will you feel as an NBA fan about LeBron probably getting a ring finally? Are you fair or again?
I'm not a fan of super teams, just people piling on, and that's straight across the board. Even, like, you know, some of those Red Sox teams, we just became the Yankees. I don't know. I don't like that stuff, you know.
A lot of people
add Shaq and Phil Jackson. Gee, did you go on a run? Or like when the Yankees add Clemens and all, you know, you have Jose Canseco on your bench just so we can't have him. And it's just, I don't know. I liked it the old school, the old Showtime Lakers, I liked it back in the day when the Pirates could win a World Series.
Right.
I really just sound like an old crabby guy, and that's what I am.
That's your act. You are an old crabby guy, Bill. That's why we love you. Ontario Improv, next weekend, the weekend of the 29th. Tickets available just $25 through OntarioImprov.com. We've been lucky enough to see Mr. Burr a couple of times. You will have a great time, I promise. More with our guests right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean, April Foolishness veteran Bill Burr in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You can see the full set at the Ontario Improv next weekend, the weekend of Friday, June 29th. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, one on Sunday. Tickets at OntarioImprov.com and the Bill Monday Morning Podcast, too, available at BillBurr.com. Hey, you came in, by the way, congratulating Kevin on the Los Angeles Kings winning the Stanley Cup. You had something to cheer about.
Wearing his Boston Bruins hat, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I know what it feels like to
end
a drought.
You're a big man.
No. I don't. Dude, I guess I don't begrudge people winning championships. It's awesome for the fans.
You're the only Boston fan that I don't hate.
Yeah.
Oh, is that?
You know,
that's actually a heck of a compliment.
Raised as a Laker fan, you're supposed to hate all Boston teams. I was rooting against Boston in the playoffs.
You just talked to Jimmy Fallon in a civil tone, Kevin. I was very impressed. That was tough for you.
Most hardcore fans are a-holes. At least you're nice about it. You come in and say congratulations.
Well, most hardcore fans are also morons who only see it like from their like point of view.
Agreed.
Every example was about the Celtics getting screwed by the refs.
I did notice that.
Those were the ones that I noticed. Sure. No, it was just like I always liked the Kings. I liked them back in the day. And especially once they dropped the Laker colors, it was easier to get. You know what's funny is I love that old school jersey. I play pickup hockey, but just because it's Laker colors, I can't wear it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like I said, I mean, I don't take anything away from the Lakers. They're the best franchise in my lifetime. They won the most championships, so you got to give it up to that. But seeing the Kings win was phenomenal. I actually got to go to the game. Long story how I got hooked up by it.
But game six.
Oh, dude, how shiny is the cup? That was like the thing out of Pulp Fiction that was like in the briefcase, you know?
Yes. I didn't think I was ever going to leave the arena. I really didn't. And then this past weekend, I rewatched the game, and my wife came downstairs. She's like, you're not watching that game again. I was like,
oh, you gotta.
It's hard to believe.
Did they win again, Kevin?
They won again.
Wow, that's amazing.
When the Bruins won it last year, I was actually doing a gig with Jim Norton at the Chicago Theater, and it just worked out where I got to watch basically the first period and a half. Then I did my set, and then I watched the final 15 minutes. And when it got down to 5 minutes left, and it finally hit me, I screamed like a girl. I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to do it. And like nobody else was into the game. They were like, why is he screaming like a sissy over there? And it was like, it's just, you know.
You know what I love about it, Bill, and you touched on it a little bit, is for a hockey fan, especially somebody like you who's loved the team, you know, and played hockey your whole life, you've been rooting for your guys, and it's been decades since they won. But to see the looks of the faces of the players, some of whom have dreamed of putting the cup above their head since they were three, to see what they're going through, it's so inspirational.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it does make you tear up, even if you don't care about those guys. You see, they're so happy.
It's the greatest trophy just for the simple fact that the guys you grew up watching carrying the thing, you know, Mike Bossy, Wet Gretzky, Messier, all of them, all the way back, you're like, that's the same one. And it's like this iconic thing.
Yet, still got their names on it, the whole thing.
Yet has all those crazy stories. Like we were talking that time, I heard like some stripper sat in the top of it and bent it. They had to like bend it back up. It ended up in the bottom of a swimming pool. Yeah. All of it gets lost. All of those things.
The difference is each player gets to take it for 24 hours, and who knows what happens when that when that's going on.
We've got Bob Miller, the longtime, almost 40-year announcer for the Kings, is going to be joining us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. I can't wait to find out what he's going to do with the Cup. That's got to be something he's been dreaming about his whole professional life, too.
He doesn't seem like he's going to put a stripper in it.
No, I don't think so.
Like that kind of guy.
He's a little too old, maybe, for the nonsense with the Cup. Hey, Bill, when's Breaking Bad coming back? Soon, right?
Yeah, I think July it comes back.
And when do we see you? How far into the new season will we see you?
I don't know that I'm allowed to say whether I'm on it or not. I'll be like a weatherman.
Now we know.
Chances are good.
Is that an unbelievable show business experience working with those guys? Because, oh my God, is that one of the best casts on television?
It's the only time I can really think of where I was just something I was such a huge fan of. From the first episode,
really,
you know,
yeah.
I think I told this story before on here, but I don't know. It was something when I saw that the billboard and they were standing in those, you know, those toxic waste suits or whatever the heck you call them. I just was like, I had never heard the expression Breaking Bad. There was just something about it. I was drawn to it, and from the pilot episode,
it blows you away.
I was hooked.
It's one of the best series of all time.
Yeah. And I've always used the analogy to be like if you were a huge Star Wars fan, and then all of a sudden they're making a movie, and you're putting on like a stormtrooper suit. Going, am I really going to be in this on some level? This is ridiculous.
Did it ruin the magic of that show, your passion for that show, by now actually being on it, though? Can you not look at it the same way anymore?
No, not at all. And I was still a super fan, even when I'm on set, as I refuse to read anything.
Is that right? Just your part?
I made a rule that if I'm standing there and they're shooting a scene, I'm going to watch it because the acting is so ridiculously unbelievable on that show. But if I see a script, you know, which you don't see too much, but if there happens to be one laying around, I don't want to read it because I don't want to know what's going to happen. I don't want to ruin it.
So how much do you know when you're shooting your scene? Do you not know what the rest of it is about?
Fortunately, my guy sort of parrot troops into the stuff. So it's like he has like a real specific job. He works for Saul. And, you know,
Saul's a good guy.
Yeah, Saul's a good guy. Saul Goodman. So, yeah, so I don't need to know what's going on. So it definitely works. It doesn't hurt me as far as like trying to act the scene.
Breaking Bad comes back on July 15th, and this is the last season. I guess that's already been announced, right? This is the end of it, right?
Yeah, I believe they've split up the fifth season into two separate parts.
Eight this summer and eight next year.
Ooh.
Drives me crazy.
That doesn't me.
Next year.
Drag it out. I don't want it to end.
Come on, I know. But
I don't want it to end. You know what kills me is how it keeps going up. They keep raising the stakes, and every time you think it's
going to can't get more horked. You can't figure out a way to do it.
I thought that about the original, about the pilot. I thought, this is too good. There's nowhere to go from here. And yet they've somehow figured out a way to do it.
Well, I've never seen them like a character so change through the, I mean, just when you think back, that first episode, he was just this beaten down guy. You know, just, you know, his dreams didn't come true, and he was working in that high school. He just had the awful car.
Yep.
Yeah, and he would just let people walk all over him. And you get all the way up to that one of the most epic lines of the season, I'm the one who knocks. It's like, how did he become that guy? He's got the shaved head. And it's just, it's incredible.
Do you have some other shows you plan to go get canceled now that you're done with Breaking Bad? Are you going to end Mad Men for us?
Wait, why are you saying it's canceled? You know, this is the longest Bean has gone
without
doing that.
I'm just saying, I thought the show was going to run forever. Then all of a sudden, Bill Burr's on it. Next thing you know, they're talking about, we got to close this thing down.
There's something about joy he just doesn't like. Is that what it is?
I don't like to see people happy.
He hates happiness. He hates fun.
Why don't you go kill Mad Men while you're at it, Burr? You ever think about that?
You know what? I don't fit into that era. I can't see myself in that.
In a suit, right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm too much of a bum.
Ontario Improv next weekend. A great way to spend an evening. Bill Burr on stage, OntarioImprov.com. Tickets are just $25. And how's the podcast doing? I regret I'm many episodes behind. Is it still rocking?
Oh, the podcast is doing great.
And, every Monday.
Every Monday we keep getting more and more listeners. And it's as fun as stand-up because it's the same rules. It's like, you know, nobody's there with the clipboard.
Right.
Going, our ratings are down and females in Nebraska. You need to – there's none of that. You just go and you do it. And,
you do what you want.
Yeah, and fiercely loyal fans. You guys know the deal.
Sure.
Bill does not hold back. That's why we love him. BillBurr.com for all your Bill Burr needs. Thanks so much for coming in, man. Great to see you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Dirty Heads are back. Brand new album just came out yesterday called Cabin by the Sea. We'll hear one of their new songs coming up next. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. Hi, Ralph.
Before I get to the beat, how about some more passes to that very special red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yay!
Did you run into Roland in the halls earlier this morning?
He was not happy with you two, by the way. I would not start my car if I were you guys.
Well, he stumped Roland and he got beat.
He took the bus down here because he thought he was going to get tickets, and he left empty-handed. I don't think he took it well.
No. Why would he?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I've got more passes to give away, though. Maybe I'll give some to Roland. But I'd like to ask a trivia question. If you're a Spidey fan, you'll know the answer. You'll call in. You'll be the first to answer correctly, and then you'll win the tickets. It's just that simple. Everyone else will be waiting until July 3rd to see it in theaters everywhere. You'll see it before anybody else at the premiere in Westwood. Here is your trivia question. Of course, we know Spider-Man is a Broadway musical. We got the new movie starring Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I didn't even ask it yet.
Been a while.
Tobey Maguire, of course, played Spider-Man in the other three feature films. There's been many animated TV series based on Spider-Man. However, not many people remember the quintessential 1970s Spider-Man TV series. Live-action TV series was on CBS in the late 70s. All I need from you is to name the actor who played Spider-Man in the TV series.
Obviously.
1-800-520-1067. Who played Spidey on TV?
Ryan Gosling.
It was not Ryan Gosling. He was way too young.
Mr. T?
Not Mr. T.
All right.
Pity the fool. Don't swing on web.
Sad news. Character actor Victor Spinetti has passed away. He was best known for his work with the Beatles. Played the uptight TV director in A Hard Day's Night. The mad scientist trying to get the ring off Ringo's finger in the movie Help. Crazy army sergeant in Magical Mystery Tour. He was also a writer, producer, and director in London. Accomplished stage actor. He was 82 years old. Passed away at his home in Wales this week. And the good news is that it looks like Justin Bieber's gone to prison. So
right.
We got that going
for us. Oh,
well,
hold on. Wait, hold on a
awesome.
Second. All right.
Awesome. Can you imagine the Biebs in prison?
He'll do well.
Time to take a shower. Yeah. Time to take a shower, Biebs.
What's the deal?
Time to get clean.
What's going on?
Can you imagine him in prison?
They would never stop throwing a party.
He'd get passed around.
Los Angeles Sheriff's Department.
That'd be awesome.
Has handed its investigation over to prosecutors on Tuesday.
For what?
Regarding that brawl that Bieber got into with the photographer on May 28th. Remember, he got into a fight, and that photographer pressed charges.
I still can't believe that.
Assault.
I still can't believe it.
Assault. Case was just passed off the DA's office. It's up to them now if they will continue and press the charges and haul his ass into court. But apparently the sheriff thought there was enough evidence there to warrant further investigation by the DA's office.
How could a little... like Justin Bieber really assault anyone.
Look, all we care is that he goes to jail.
I agree.
That's all we care about.
I don't care
if they have to trump up the charges, they have to plant evidence, put some bloody Bruno Mali sneakers in his car. Whatever it has to happen.
A fake beard and a passport and 10 grand.
He's got to go inside.
Jail.
Look, as much as you despise Justin Bieber, and you're dead wrong on that, you have to despise the guy who is willing to publicly state he got his ass whooped by an 85-pound girl more, right?
No.
Nope. There's no self-respect for that
guy. If it leads to Bieber's incarceration, I support it 100%.
I agree. He was right.
Yes. I feel bad for that photographer who got brutally beaten by Justin Bieber. I'm going to start stoking the court of public appeal and just try to poison the jury pool against him right away. This man was bloodied and beaten raw by this crazed Canadian who comes to our borders, takes our money and women, and then...
He's not taking any of our
women. And then brutally, brutally beats a man who's just trying to do his job.
I heard he had a flamethrower. That's what I heard.
I'm just saying.
I like it.
Prison. That's all we got. That's all I care about.
Jail.
You have an answer to my trivia question? I think Matt on line one may know the answer.
Oh, Matt's a dude?
Matt?
Hello?
What actor played the Amazing Spider-Man in the TV series of the same name in the late 70s?
That would be Nicholas Hammond.
Nicholas Hammond is correct. This is an aside. You've already won the tickets, but do you know what other iconic role Nicholas Hammond also played in show business?
No, I didn't.
He was one of the Von Trapp kids in Sound of Music.
Really?
Obviously.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah, he was Friedrich. He was Friedrich in the Sound of Music. So.
Oh, no way.
There you go.
Crazy.
You learn a little something, Matt.
Hold on. Yep. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see the premiere, the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
That's awesome, Ralph. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Martin Landau, 81 years old today. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys fame turns 70. I can't believe he lived to be 70. That's crazy. Yeah.
That Who would have ever bet that he would still be alive and Dennis and Carl would both be dead?
That's the truth. Lionel Richie, 63 years old today. Actor John Goodman, one of my favorites, is 60. Michael Anthony of Van Halen and Chickenfoot is 58. John Taylor of Duran Duran, 52. Nicole Kidman turns 45. Director Robert Rodriguez is 44 years old. Christopher Mintz Plasse from Superbad and from Kick-Ass turns 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, Beer Mug, what happened down in Del Taco yesterday that involved the police showing up in Costa Mesa? What was the problem? What kind of trouble did you cause at the Del Taco location?
All right. Just giving away free Del Taco and CDs and more stuff.
But why were the police there?
Because I'm a bad, bad man. I mean, you know that.
Every day, all over Southern California, Beer Mug is showing up at various Del Taco locations. We do give you a heads up. In fact, today, from noon till 2, you're going to be at the Del Taco in Orange on Chapman Avenue, just past Prospect Street. And the reason you're there is giving away tickets to the Vans Warped Tour, X Games tickets, Chili Peppers tickets, and more, plus the new K-Rock stickers available with you, Beer Mug, or at any Del Taco location. You fill out the back, send it in, and you could win a 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid, the 2012 Honda Motorcycle, plus tickets to the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus. It's a pretty good deal. You get a sticker. It's free to enter, and then you could win that unbelievable prize. Get your details at krock.com.
All right, we're going to take some calls from people on this story. If you have a similar experience, although I believe this dude may be lying. Kevin Ellison is his name. He used to be a defensive back for the USC Trojans. He played very briefly for the San Diego Chargers, and then he played linebacker for the Spokane Shock of the Arena Football League.
Okay.
He was in his third floor apartment, and it lit on fire. And so he jumped from his third floor window, and he turned out it was okay and everything, but his apartment burned down. His original story was he was smoking weed in bed, and that's what started the fire. Then he changed it to, God told me that I needed to set my apartment on fire with using my joint.
Why? I mean, I know God works in mysterious ways.
You don't ask God why.
You don't. You just do.
No.
Now, I have many thoughts on this story, and we are going to be looking for your telephone calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show, another topic we've never attempted before, but we want to hear from you if God has ever told you to do something.
Or let's throw in if you thought at the time God was telling you to do something.
Okay.
And we don't want things that make sense. We don't want love your neighbor. We don't want things that are in the Bible,
about,
the
like,
Ten Commandments.
If you're thinking, like, you have job offers and you pray, and then God tells you which job to take.
You took action, yes, based on
what God told you. Because I have a friend who does that.
Yeah, okay. I want to hear from people who made their decision based on what they believe was advice from God. And in a lot of cases, and you can look online and see this, you'll see people who actually hear God. I mean, they hear audibly, they hear a voice speaking to them, like in the movies. And I want to hear from you if that has happened too. 1-800-520-1067. Now, let me ask you this. Not that you could ever prove this, but if God really did tell him to burn down his apartment complex with marijuana, you can't send that dude to jail, right? I mean, he's got to do what God says.
I guess, but then you look further in the story and you see that Ellison had sent a text message to people Thursday night before the fire in which he claimed he was Jesus and part of the second coming.
Maybe the message gets garbled a little bit. Maybe it's tough to decipher. You know, it's like when you watch John Edward on TV, when he's speaking to the other side, sometimes it doesn't come through exactly precise. Sometimes it's open for interpretation. You ever think about that? Man, you're a hater.
No, I'm just saying, I'm not sure.
Why do you hate God?
I don't hate God. I'm saying, I'm the only one that believes in God on this show, I think.
That may be true.
But he's not telling people to burn down their apartment with weed. That's not happening.
But is that any crazier than build an ark, gather up two of every animal on the planet and build an ark because I'm going to make it rain? I mean, that's no crazier than that. God tells people to do whack stuff, and we can't always see why he's asking us to do stuff. You just got to go with it.
That's why I make it rain to this day, is for the exact same reason, because God made it rain. Same thing, right?
I think it's a different kind of making it rain.
Oh.
But look, here's the thing. Millions of people, billions of people believe that there is a God, and a large percentage of those people believe that God is really having a day-to-day, sometimes minute-to-minute influence in the world and the things that happen in the world. It's not crazy to think that there are a lot of people out there who believe that they have received a message from God.
There must be lots of those people, right?
There's millions of people like that. But for the most part, it's not burn your apartment down with weed. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, it's not going to be something that is against the law. It's not going to be something that might endanger people's lives.
You don't know, man.
It's not going to be start a war.
You don't know, man.
For leaders in history. It's not that stuff.
Does he know, man, Lisa?
He doesn't know.
I know, man.
You can't know.
I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing.
You can't know.
I'm guessing.
Well, we're gonna find out. We're going to talk to Kevin and Bean listeners right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you or maybe somebody close to you has received a vision or a message or some sort of instructions from heaven, we want to hear from you. We want to find out how that message was delivered to you, and we want to find out what that message was and if you acted on it. Because how could you not? I mean, if you really believe that you're getting instructions from God, how do you not act on that, right?
Yeah, if you fully believe that's the truth, you must do whatever you believe he said.
Let's just wait 1 second. If they would put line 3 on hold, I'd love to go to this and get us started before we break and come back with more of your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. Just waiting for a name on line 3. Our first person who talked to God. This is very exciting.
All right. Let's go to B. The letter
B's
B.
B's on line 2. We want line 3.
Oh, I'm on line 3. Okay. Hello. Who's this? Hello.
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 Yeah.
Hey.
Yes.
This is old Razzie. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
You heard from God?
I heard from God. I used to live in California where I was a family man, and we decided that we needed to change our life for the better. We needed to move to Washington to get away from the ugliness and the awfulness that was here.
Right.
Well, my family is here. I've been living here my whole life. When we went to Washington, I left, I had nothing there except for her, my son from a previous marriage, and our stepchildren. And I was lonely there. I was sad there. When we have arguments, she would say, "Oh,
excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you get to the part where God told you to do something?
Is God the one that told you to move to Washington, or we haven't gotten to that part yet?"
Here's what happened. What happened was, well, I was there for a year. I became fat. I became depressed. I was lifeless, listless.
Okay.
And one night, after a year later, we were drunk because all we would do is drink wine. That's all we could do. And we had this huge argument.
Hang on 1 second.
What's the point of this story?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we had this huge argument, and I was drunk. The point is, I was blacked out drunk. I don't know how it happened. But the next thing I know, next morning, I'm awake, and my 16-year-old son's like, "Dad, we got thrown out. We packed up the car. I took you to the ATM. We drove all the way here. We were like in some hotel in California." And I realized, how did that even happen? How did that happen? I was there the next morning in the hotel, and I had a God was like, "Listen,
can you hang on 1 second? Just hang on 1 second. 1 second, guys. What's going on? Is anyone following? Is anyone having a clue what's happening here?
I think God talked to him while he was blacked out drunk.
Okay.
Yes. No. God talked to me the next morning and said, "This is your chance. You are here with your son. Here's your chance to live life how you're supposed to do it. Trust me. Trust my plan."
And what was that plan?
That plan was to bring me to downtown LA, where I learned how to cultivate and grow cannabis through a reverend minister.
Uh-huh.
I was there at a ministry where I lived and was learned and how to love, how to grow, how to live.
I've known you for 3 minutes, and I already know that more drugs is not what you need.
No, it's not drugs. It's an herb. It's a plant. It's a gift from God.
Oh, it's an herb.
Now, listen, here's the most important thing you need to understand.
We can't get to the most important thing now. It's been a half hour. How are you just getting to the most important thing?
The most important thing is that I am happy, I am healthy, I am not depressed, I am living the life I want to lead, I am bound by no one thanks to God's plan.
So God told you to grow weed?
No, God told me to live off of the earth, to love everyone, not judge anyone, and to trust in his plan.
Can we judge the fact that you're a poor storyteller?
I am not a poor storyteller. The adrenaline, being on air with you guys.
But what I love about the story the most, and we are going to hang up on you and maybe never talk to you again, but what I love about you the most is that God came to you. God spoke to you. You don't remember it at all. Somebody else had to tell you about it, right?
My 16-year-old son had to tell him. By God's grace, God's plan, God's will, the next day, he said, "Gabriel, this is your clean start. You have nothing but your son and yourself. Go, be, live, learn, share. And that's all you have to do." And
all
you know what? I've lived by those words, and I am blessed.
Fantastic.
I'm happy. So
I could not be happy and healthier.
You are more than I could have ever expected. Thank you for the call.
So I'm glad that it worked out for you, sir. Thank you. Okay. That's how we're going to
get
started.
A lot of that, right?
Love it. Love it.
I didn't even think about the, I mean, of course, the guy in the story, the football player who tried to burn down his apartment, he was on the weed at the time. This guy was blacked out drunk, it sounds like. I wonder if that's the secret to hearing from God is just being blottoed.
I don't think so, or I would have.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin DeBee Show.
Oh, hey, Gabriel.
Too much information.
We're going to talk all things X Games coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin DeBee Show with our friend Paul Rodriguez. X Games right around the corner starting on the 28th, right? Which is a few days from now.
Next Thursday.
Right now, though, we're talking about people who have heard the voice of God. You received a message from heaven. We want to hear about that. There's a story in the news about a guy who that's his defense for why he set his apartment on fire is because God told him to. And that is a surprise to us that that would be the Lord's advice. Let's go to Michael real quick. He's on line one. He gets us going here at 1-800-520-1067. You heard from God, huh, Michael?
Yes, I did.
How's that going?
Well, it was good morning, guys.
Hi. Good morning.
Girls. It was more of, I believe, that the finger of God touched me.
Okay, and what was happening?
Inappropriately or?
No, it was warningly. It was about 6 years ago, and I had a subarachnoid hemorrhage.
Ew.
And that is a bleed in the subarachnoid space of your brain. I was bicycling. I was an avid bicycle rider, and I was on my way to work when I felt like I pulled something in the back of my neck.
Okay.
Long story short, next thing I do, I wake up, and my whole family's behind around the hospital bed. It wasn't until Natasha Richardson died when I just started breaking down and crying and did some research. My injury had a 30% chance of not surviving the ambulance ride to the hospital.
Okay.
More than a 50% chance of not coming out whole, meaning some part of your body doesn't work or you don't speak right. And it all happened at a time I was dating a beautiful Italian bombshell.
Okay.
Which, as a single dad, I would not imagine I could have scored with.
Okay.
And
so where was God's finger? Was it in the back of your neck when you got hurt? Was it the land in the Italian girlfriend?
He put it on the back of my neck because she did a lot of cocaine and I just got involved in it.
Okay, so you were doing cocaine with a girlfriend and you think the injury was caused by God?
Yes.
To change your life.
Exactly.
But isn't that just, hey, a wake-up call? I cheated death, so I need to evaluate because no one knows how much time they have left. I need to evaluate by my remaining years. I mean, isn't that almost just common sense and maturity rather than a God influence?
No. I think you start to think with all the percentage of me not coming out whole to enjoy now my six kids, I firmly believe God touched me on the back of my neck and said, you need to stop this. And
well,
here's the warning.
If it worked for you, I'm happy. But so far, I think we're 0 for 2 with people who heard
from
God.
What if he was saying, how about some birth control? What if that was his message?
No. I love my kids.
All right, Michael. Thank you for the call.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try, strange. Let's go to John.
John's on line seven.
John is more the kind of call I was expecting
and
for people who hear from God. John, welcome to the show. What's going on, dude?
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey.
Oh,
hi, John.
I love you guys.
Thank
this
you.
Is so amazing.
Thank you. God talked to you and told you what?
He told me to move out of my apartment, sell all my stuff, and move into a 77 VW bus.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. There it is.
Yeah.
All right, so
right?
He told you to move out of your apartment and move into a bus.
Yes.
God said that.
Do we know why? Like, what was his thinking? If you can guess,
here's my like experience of life and God talking to me. Kind of talked to me through my gut. You know, it's like when you have like sort of that feeling, like you want to do something. It's not totally rational, but everything feels like you should go and do that. Like my brother was like, "Don't before you do this, call me and tell me you're going to do this, so I can talk you out of it."
Of course,
yeah. So I didn't do that. I just moved out. But it's been like the best thing I've ever done.
Because why?
Living on a bus is good times.
I just feel like I like to be close to the earth. I like to be outside. I don't like to be inside. And it feels like living in a bus, it feels like I'm always outside. I hike more. I got a dog.
Okay, but John, let me just run this by you.
Do you have a job?
I have a dog.
Dog. Yeah, he didn't say
job. He doesn't have a job.
No. Let me just run this by you, though. And I'm the one that believes in God.
Yeah.
Isn't it possible that you love the outdoors, and so you just, that naturally, you know, took your attention to where it took you?
Sure. No, well, that's the thing with, like, you know, if God is speaking to you or not, there's always, like, some doubt about it, you know, where that feeling is coming from.
Right.
But I always run back to that. I mean, I'm not really a religious guy, but I always run back to that one verse in the Bible that says, like, you'll know them by their fruits. So, like, when I did it and I loved it, I'm like, all right, well, that must have been God because it took me on a path that was, that felt so good and,
okay.
and has you know, led to so many great things.
All right. Thank you for the call.
I'm glad it worked out for you.
All right. We got to get one more. And this is Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hi.
God told you to do what?
Well, I was on a night hike in Topanga Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some coyotes. And normally, like, you step away from that area because they're, you know, hitting
coyotes,
prey
right?
up. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But this time, God, you know when God speaks to you, it feels like there's a milkshake in your body?
No.
I did not know that.
I'm
not familiar with the milkshake experience. But
Okay. It's more like, maybe it's like there's a little wave coming up from your body. It's like you're going to throw up. It's a good throw up, and it never comes out.
If you don't mind, hold on one second, because this story is confusing me enough that I'd like to see if we could bring God.
What's happening?
We're bringing God into the conversation.
Oh, now we're going to talk to God?
Well, I'd like to get his thoughts on the milkshake thing.
Okay.
And about the coyotes.
So you know that milkshake thing I was just talking about?
God, yeah. Are you there?
I just had that feeling.
He just had it.
He just had the feeling. I just gave him the milkshake feeling.
Wow, this is God. You can't talk to God.
Back. He's talking back. I told
I
you.
Drink your milkshake.
God, this is a real honor. We've just been speaking to people that you've been speaking to down here on Earth.
Nope.
Well, what do you mean, no? You're talking to us.
I am talking to you just to let everyone know that I'm not talking to them.
All right, let me get Henry, the rest of Henry's story. So, Henry, you felt the milkshake thing.
I felt the milkshake thing.
And then what did God tell you to do?
God told me, join them. One of them.
Be one of the coyotes.
Be one of the coyotes.
All right, let's check with God. God, be one of the coyotes.
I meant, be a coyote. Bring some illegals across the border.
You're worried about...
Well, fruit's got to get picked.
So you were trying to get some human trafficking going. It had nothing to do with joining wild animals.
Trying to get some reasonably priced labor into the agricultural system of California.
All right, now, Henry, what did you do with God's message to join the coyote pack?
Ironically, I was with an illegal immigrant.
Okay.
Okay.
And I joined this coyote pack. I was very afraid, but joined this coyote pack.
What does that mean, join them? You right?
I assumed the position of a coyote on the floor near the coyotes.
Right.
Afraid for my life, afraid my face would get ripped off.
Right.
And within this milkshake feeling was a howl that we all commenced.
Okay.
Yeah, you see what I'm talking about.
God, you made this guy. Don't look at us. You made him, all right?
Hey, look.
See, but here's the thing. I don't know if God made me. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Look, I don't want to take credit for you either.
I don't blame you.
I did.
Now, so you get down in the position and you join the coyote pack.
Obviously.
Then I have a revelation.
Which is
that you're not a coyote.
Exactly.
Are you just effing with us?
So, I got the hell out of there because I'm not a coyote. But for the time that I was a coyote with God, with these coyotes, with the earth, with everything, that's a God feeling right there.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right, God, we're going to give you the final word. Henry, thank you very much for the call. What's going on here, God?
Listen, I'm not talking to you people. I don't give a rat's ass whether you crawl around with coyotes or live in a VW 1977 bus. I really don't give a crap.
People just make stuff up and attach your name to it.
If I was going to be talking to people, wouldn't I make a difference instead of telling you to live in a van down by the river?
Well, it surprised us, too.
I told Abraham to kill his son Isaac.
Right.
And the asshole was just about to do it. That's when I learned my lesson. I'm not telling anybody to do anything anymore.
All right, so the people we just talked to, you would say not...
Crazy!
Okay. Thank you very much.
My name's Paul Rodriguez. I used to see friends skating out in front of the school, and I used to ask them if I could see their board, if I could try Ollie on it or whatever, whatever. For that Christmas, I saved up my money, and I bought me my own skateboard, and ever since then, it's been an addiction.
Addiction. Addiction.
Pretty much spending all my free time skating. I love skateboarding because it gives me a good feeling, a sense of satisfaction. I feel like I work hard to learn a trick, and when you work so hard and you finally accomplish something, you feel good.
P-Rod with a switch frontside flip.
I fan out when I talk about Paul. He's like, he is who I look up to in skateboarding. What's going on? This is Paul Rodriguez, professional skateboarder.
Hey, P-Rod. Welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. It's our pleasure. I laugh every year when we have you guys on because I can't imagine what it's like when you're a little kid and you fall in love with skateboarding. You don't imagine you're still going to be doing it so many years later as a career, do you?
You know, you hope to, but it's especially when you're like 11, 12 years old, you don't even know to think of 15 years later. You don't right. even, that just seems like an eternity, so...
Does a guy like you at the top of his game, do you feel like you are still getting better? Do you still, I mean, do you feel like every year like you're as the best you've ever been?
Yes, absolutely. That's the goal every year. I don't feel like that. I don't know that I'm going to keep going, you know?
Does your success work against you a little bit and your fame work against you a little bit in that every single competition you're in, people expect you to win? And there are a lot of other people. I mean, you're great at what you do, but there are a lot of other people that are really good at what they do as well.
Oh, of course, of course. You know, maybe like early on in the career, once I started feeling like people expected me to win, it kind of threw me a little bit. But, you know, I kind of learned to deal with it and adapt to it, and now it's not such an issue for me. But everyone is great these days in those competitions, so it's definitely.
Yeah,
tough.
I mean, there are a lot of kids who grew up with X Games and all of that they could watch, and they could watch you, and you didn't exactly grow up with that.
No, not exactly. So this is kind of like a new thing. And those kids who get to grow up watching it, to them it's normal. So
yeah, that's really weird. X Games Los Angeles 2012 this year, over 200 world-class athletes. Of course, tons of coverage on ESPN and ABC. You can buy your tickets now through Ticketmaster.com. Kevin, you have said every year since X Games existed, this is the one event you pay to go see in person, right?
Yeah,
because there's no better deal in the world.
It's not very expensive, and you can spend the entire day there, and you can see guys like P-Rod's, you know, skateboard, and then you can see somebody else do a BMX, then you can see the, you know, the motorcycle. I mean, it's really just an amazing, amazing day. And it doesn't cost anything for what you get.
Yeah, it's a real good deal.
They're already putting things online on the skateboarding sites about what they're building down there this year. The California Rampworks people are building. I mean, every year they build new courses. There's 18 of them or something like that this year. How much advance preparation do you get walking around the place or trying out the stuff before you actually have to compete, P-Rod?
They usually give us about like 3 days of practicing on the course, but I already have the computer rendering of the course. So like, you know, for the past couple of weeks, I've already known what the course is going to look like.
Is that right?
Yep.
So you can kind of figure out what you want to do on it before you ever skate it.
Yeah, you can kind of develop a game plan. And when you get there, hopefully everything kind of turns out how you imagined it. Yes.
Right. How many events are you going to participate in this year?
I'm sorry, one more time?
How many events are you going to work this year?
I'm just skating one. Just skating the street.
Just
event.
The street?
What a slacker.
Have you?
I know.
I'm sorry if this is a dumb question, but have you ever done the big air? And do you have any interest in doing it?
No, man. It's not my not within my skill range, I guess. It's never something I developed a love for.
It's funny because you would think that everybody, like your skill range obviously is skateboarding. So I would think as an athlete, I think most people go, well, if I could do that, I could do this. And then you get on the big air ramp and you go, nope.
Yeah, that like, if I was going to do that, I would have had to start doing that really young, you know. Not that it's impossible to learn now. It's just now I'm so in love with street skating that I don't really have a desire to go, you know, get the skills developed on the big ramps.
Right.
Understood. Well, P-Rod, you meddled in 2003, 2004, 2005, 2008, 2009, and the 2012 X Games are ahead of you. I know that it's something that you guys look forward to every single year, and we're always psyched when it comes to Los Angeles, and we're psyched to get a chance to see you, if not in person, then all over the TV. I hope you have a great Games this year.
Thank you very much. I really hope to do well this year.
Thank you, P-Rod. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, I appreciate it. You guys take care.
All right. Bob Miller, 39-year announcer for the Los Angeles Kings, who gets his day with the Stanley Cup later this summer, is going to be joining us next hour here on the Kevin Devine Show. Right now, Ralph is back with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Not for nothing, but they give the announcer the day with the cup.
And a ring, too, I think.
That's sweet.
Nice, yeah.
That's cute. That's precious. He's the freaking announcer. I mean, Bob Miller's a legend, don't get me wrong.
He is.
As a hockey fan, I can appreciate his longevity, and he's one of the great voices in the NHL. But come on, a day with a cup and a ring. Come on.
I think that's nice to do something special for somebody who's given decades of his life to the team.
Yeah, well, he gets a paycheck, right?
Right.
It's not a volunteer gig or anything, right?
I think they have enough days. It's not like they're taking one away from a player.
Just saying.
Let's have Ralph do the interview.
Just
saying, Bobby. Come on. Even you got to realize.
Right? All right. Let's get on with the showbiz news. I believe it was Maya Angelou who once said, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
Was that her?
Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out. Here comes the Spider-Man.
I didn't know that was her. That's something.
Yeah, it was. I've got tickets to the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man. Most folks will have to wait until July 3rd, but it's in theaters everywhere to see it. But not you. Not you, my friend. If you win, if you call first with the answer to my trivia question at 1-800-520-1067, I will give you a pair of passes. Then you can attend the red carpet premiere with Andrew Garfield as the new Spider-Man, Emma Stone. Of course, Gwen Stacy, Dennis Leary will be there, Risa Fonz.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda will not be attending, but Martin Sheen will be there. Sally Field will be there. She is the new Aunt May, who, of course, plays a large part in the Spider-Man legend.
Of course.
You know Aunt May.
What's Kevin going to do going to see a movie with a 70-year-old in? He's going to hate himself.
I know. Speaking of Aunt May, here's my trivia question. Aunt May Parker, of course, raises Peter as her own once his parents die, and Uncle Ben also dies in the Spider-Man legacy.
True.
May Parker is her name. Of course, she's married to Ben Parker, Peter's uncle. What is her maiden name?
What's her maiden name?
What is May's maiden name? Her married name is Parker. What is Aunt May's maiden name? 1-800-520-1067. Call now with the answer, and boom. It's just that simple. That Timothy Busfield charge. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He was accused of sexual assault by a woman who said they were on a date at a movie theater.
Oh, right, in a movie.
And he groped her privates.
They were making out, right?
What she was doing with troops in the movie theater with her, I have no idea.
Not privates in the Army.
What?
That's different.
She filed a report with the Los Angeles Police Department, and as the good people of the LAPD are wont to do, they looked into it. But luckily for Timothy Busfield, it was concluded by the city's attorney office that there was enough evidence to prosecute the case.
Excellent.
So,
because that sounded shaky. From
what
the beginning.
It sounded like a simple case of roaming hands on a social evening out. Will not be, in fact, criminalized. So Timothy Busfield dodges a bullet there.
Demi Moore. Shot at him?
No. Demi Moore's got a new boyfriend.
Yeah.
Joe Manganiello.
Oh,
the
you're
dude from
kidding.
True Blood.
The guy from True Blood.
Score.
The big beefy werewolf
guy. Oh, he's
guy.
Beautiful.
He's a werewolf, right?
Easy, Lisa. Yeah, he's a werewolf. Yeah.
But Lisa, you're right.
Mine. You
okay?
No, well, you probably don't look, but
he's in Magic Mike. He's in the new Magic Mike.
Yeah. We're going to
Magic Mike.
Oh, the women love him.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time Lisa has been paying attention all day today.
That's for sure.
That's not true.
Did you see Billy's
hand?
Rip. I speak for
whoa,
all of my listeners.
Merp.
Whoa, hot.
Yeah. She she's dating this dude. What is he doing with that? Look, I know she's attractive.
What's wrong with Demi Moore?
For 80 or whatever she is. But she's a good-looking 80, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But he's Joe Manganiello.
All right, now I have a boner.
I'm just saying.
He could have his choice, you're right.
He could have a lot of them at the same time if he wanted them.
Yeah.
But they have hit it off, a lot of serious chemistry, say friends. And Demi has been bouncing back because of the new relationship. She's been doing lots of yoga, eating balanced meals again. eating solid food.
She's got to keep up with all the other women that he could have.
She has gained 14 healthy pounds, say friends.
That's good.
That is good because she was looking like a little emaciated there for a bit. So, yeah, she's bouncing back. Nothing like a new man to make a woman feel better. Like Lisa, Lisa would like werewolf. To have a new man.
Oh, my. Well, that man.
Look at him.
I think it's embarrassing to see somebody on the radio drooling over celebrities.
Show some serious class, will
you? You guys never do that. I'm
just fawn over someone like they're
myself.
A sex
it's
object.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. Seriously. How about a little respect for their craft just instead of what they look like?
I'm going to call HR. I'll be right back.
Seriously, it's offensive. Yes, we do have your winner, Ralph. It's going to be Ron on line 4 is trying to win here.
Ron, what is Aunt May's maiden name?
Riley,
yes. Of course it is.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Because Ben Riley, of course, was Peter's clone who went on to be the Scarlet Spider. Now that it all falls correct. Into place for you, doesn't it, Kevin?
Obviously.
What if your name was Asshole?
Her name is not Asshole. Okay. Ron, congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give all the details, but you're going to see the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Amazing.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Mintz-Plasse is super bad. He was also in Kick-Ass, 23 years old today. He was McLovin. Isn't
he great? He was.
Chyna Moreno is 39 years old today. Quentin Rampage Jackson turns 34. Grace Potter of Grace Potter and the Nocturnals, 29 years old. Twiggy Ramirez, he's the bassist for Marilyn Manson, he's 41. Josh Lucas, the actor, is 41 as well. Robert Rodriguez, director of Machete, as well as other films, turns 44. Nicole Kidman, 45. John Taylor of Duran Duran is 52. Michael Anthony, formerly of Van Halen, is 58. John Goodman, super talented actor, is 60. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, 70. Martin Landau, legendary actor, is 81. And Lionel Richie celebrates his 63rd birthday today. He gets a little richer every time we talk.
95 PGC at 432-9595. All conversations on the air, of course, are strictly confidential. That's one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more richy every time we play one of his
songs. I'm Ralph Carver, and I walk the show.
I think Beer Mug's right. I think that's a cutoff of a Kansas album from 1976. Sounds like a little bit. That's fun period here on K-Rock. Our old friend Manny Ramirez is back in the news, and this time it's not the greatest news. No, not another drug arrest, but he's no longer playing baseball. He's been cut by the Oakland A's organization,
what?
Kevin. I know. I mean, he is 40. I get all that. But he was playing really well in Sacramento. I don't know what the story is here. He played in 17 games with the AAA Sacramento Club, had 14 RBIs, was batting .302. Yet they decided to let him go and not bring him up, not keep him in the minor leagues and not bring him up to the major leagues. So what's up with that?
Hmm. Well, we have him on the phone if you want to ask him.
Manny Ramirez?
Yeah.
Hi, Manny.
Oh, hi. Hi, Debbie. Hi, pretty lady.
Hi, Manny.
Manny Ramirez. I have a horn. I love playing baseball. Hey, all right. Hooray. Manny Ramirez.
This is quite a journey you're on. Of course, a longtime Red Sox. You played for the Dodgers. You played for Tampa Bay. I honestly thought we were going to see you in the
Wait
major
a
leagues
second.
Playing. What?
What? I'm in journey?
No. I was saying your career. Oh. You've had a long
Where
journey with all the...
Go down in the city and the sunshine on
Yeah, that's
the
a journey moon. Song. Right. Yeah, no. I just meant you've played for a lot of teams, and I was surprised. I honestly thought at some point you'd be brought up by Oakland, but they decided to cut your contract. What's going on, Manny?
Oh, Manny Ramirez, baby, happy to play for Oakland Athletic. He home run, hooray. Manny Ramirez is a wolf.
First of all, you're not a wolf. Second of all, you're not playing for Oakland.
Oh,
they cut you. Yeah, you're out of baseball. You have no team right now. Your agent says you're available. You would like to play for another club, but so far, no one is interested. Manny
Ramirez played for Real Madrid.
Real Madrid is a soccer team in Spain.
I have a lollipop and a boner.
Right, those things
hey,
may be true.
Hey, pretty lady.
Yes.
Do you have AIDS?
What?
Manny?
What? Why ask her that?
All right. Manny Ramirez has a sword.
What is happening? That's an inappropriate question. You haven't even been on a first date yet, Manny.
Hey, Mr. Bean.
Yes, Manny.
Are you a cowboy?
I am not a cowboy. No.
I love cowboy movie. Sometimes Manny Ramirez go home with his pet pelican, and he says, hey, pelican, you want to watch cowboy movie? He says, yes, I do. I like John Wayne movie, Manny Ramirez. I said, all right.
Your pelican. First of all, you don't have a pelican. Second of all, it doesn't talk.
I do have a pelican. I always have a pelican. His name George W. Bush.
I believe you have a pelican, by the way. That's how crazy Manny Ramirez is. All right, let's just assume for the sake of the discussion that you're done with baseball. I know it's tough for any athlete to walk away. What are you going to do with the rest of your life, Manny?
I'm going to wear a diaper.
You don't have to wear diapers yet, do you?
I do. I'm wearing one right now. I'm looking at it.
Why?
Very nice diaper.
Why are you?
It's a diaper. Have My Little Pony on it. It's very nice.
Why are you
wearing? I don't love diaper.
Why?
Because you can go pee and poo in it.
Right.
No, we understand.
Obviously,
how it works.
Kevin.
As an adult, though, you can make it to the bathroom.
Or can I? Are you leaping at me or with me? That's what my doctor say.
With you.
Oh, I'm using the diaper.
Okay, all right. Good
time. I have a horn.
Okay, yes,
horn.
You do have a horn. All right. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. You might, if you're a Kings fan, recognize this voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Staples Center, the home of the Stanley Cup champions.
That's a good sound right there. That's nice to hear. The voice of the Kings, the legendary Bob Miller, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May. How are you?
Good.
Very good. How are you?
Good.
First, congratulations. We've been trying to talk to you since the Kings won the cup,
yeah,
but we understand you haven't stopped partying. We understand you're still awake from that game six.
Yeah, I haven't been to bed yet, and yeah, I'm afraid to go to sleep and think when I wake up, that never happened. I was dreaming that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you would say that. I watched game six again over the weekend on my TiVo. And my wife came downstairs and she's like, "What are you doing?" She said, "You were at that game." And I said, "I know, but I haven't seen it on TV. And it's so hard for me to get my head around that I want to watch it again."
Oh, you know, I don't think any of us will ever get tired of watching that. And I was so happy for all the Kings fans who've waited so long for this and had a chance to celebrate. And you know what I was most proud of? They celebrated responsibly. There was no vandalism. There was nothing. No, very few arrests and no rioting or anything like that. And I said, we showed the world that you can celebrate a championship without being destructive.
I tried to get a riot going, and no one would help me.
No one would help, right? Exactly.
I was very disappointed.
You know, Bob, we had Kevin is a diehard Los Angeles Kings fan. He's been going to multiple games every year for 20-something years. We were in broadcasting live from Montreal, as you were in 93 when the Kings lost that year to the Canadiens. But we've been lucky enough to have many Kings players on over the year. And we talked to Luke Robitaille just last week, and we asked him, which Stanley Cup means the most to you? The one you won as a player with the Red Wings or the one you won, you know, in the front office working for the Los Angeles Kings, which is your team, the team that drafted you. And he said, you know what? Now that I work for the Kings organization in the office, I see every single day how much this franchise means to the people of Southern California and how much love they have and how much they support us and how much they're rooting for it. And nothing will ever, ever take that away from me. And I imagine it's the same thing for you. You talk to Kings fans every single day who have been dreaming for years, sometimes decades, to have this happen. And you probably have heard that story a million times that they just can't believe it's really here, right?
Oh, I have, and that's why I'm so happy for them, because, you know, a lot of us thought we would never see this day, and then we saw it. And as you know, there were tears of joy from a lot of people in the stands that night, and even at the rally and the parade. And it was just so great to see everybody so happy and celebrate this championship.
I'll tell you, at every game, they do the pregame report with you and Jim Fox, and when you guys come on, you know, the big screen there, the place goes crazy, which must be gratifying for you. But I also felt bad for you because you called thousands of games. I watched thousands of games where the Kings just weren't very good, and it sucked. And now it gets to the finals, and NBC takes it, and you don't get to be the announcer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was, to say the least, disappointing for Jim Fox and myself.
I was like, I felt bad for those guys. They put up with all the bad times, and now they can't enjoy the good times. But what I hear is they recorded you, and they're going to put it out on a DVD?
Yeah, that's what they're working on for this summer. So Jim and I did record the game. You know what I said? I've had 52 years in broadcasting, and 52 years ago I sat with a tape recorder in the stands hoping to get a job doing the game, and here we are, Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. We win, and I'm still doing the game into a tape recorder.
Bob, I've always wanted to ask you this question, that legendary photo, and it's been going around again since the Kings won the Cup, of you with Chick Hearn, Laker longtime announcer, and Vin Scully from the Dodgers, the three of you together standing there in your blazers and your microphones. What were the circumstances of that picture being taken?
Well, it was taken when we did a show at Fox Sports or Prime Ticket, I can't remember which, and Bill McDonald was the moderator, and we did about an hour show, and I was just so honored to be in the presence of Chick and Vin. And at one point in that show, there was kind of a lull in the conversation, and I said to Bill McDonald, I said, look at the rings on these guys' fingers. So Vin leaned up and said, this is the World Series 1988. Chick leaned up and said, this is the NBA Championship 1992.
And you did
and
what?
And there was silence, and I said, this is my wedding ring, 1963.
One of the great traditions in the NHL is that the players and some members of the staff get a chance to spend a day with the Cup. I understand that you are on that list, Bob, something you've probably been thinking about your whole life. What am I going to do if I get the Cup for a day? What have you come up with?
Well, they're working on it now to find out how they're going to get that to everybody, because, as you said, every player gets it, and, of course, excuse me, it has to go to Russia and Slovenia this year with the Kings.
Sure.
So they're trying to work that out, and it is a monumental task. We'll have a little get-together, I'm sure, and have some friends that we've worked with, and some friends in the neighborhood have a chance to see it and have their picture taken with it. And you're right. That is one of the great portions of that trophy, the history of it, that it isn't put away in a case and nobody sees it. It's out there for people to enjoy, have their picture taken with it, and it belongs to the public, and I think that's the mystique of the Stanley Cup.
Oh, it's like a celebrity. I mean, it makes personal appearances. Last week they had it in the parking lot of Dodger Stadium, and there were people lined up at 5 o'clock in the morning just to touch the thing. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, the only ones you won't see touching it are players who never won it. They are so superstitious, they will not touch the puck or the cup if they haven't won it.
Even the Western Conference Final Cup, Dustin Brown wouldn't touch.
Yeah, no, they don't touch that because they're superstitious, because they know that's not the one we want. It looks nice sitting on the table, but take it back because that's not the one we want.
It looked like Dustin Brown was skating around looking for you to hand you the cup. Did that happen?
Yeah, he was. That's what I was told.
That's pretty cool.
It was great. After the game, Jim and I had to do we were doing the post-game shows on TV, so we went to the television set, and people said, Dustin Brown was skating around. Where's Bob? I want to give him the cup. And unfortunately, we couldn't get down there in time to do that. But Brownie has been so nice in some of the comments he's made at the rally and elsewhere about me, and I truly appreciate that. He really stepped up as captain in the playoffs.
Did.
Starting right away with the games in Vancouver, and you could tell every player raised their game to a different level.
It was one of those postseasons, and I guess this is rare for me because it's never happened to me before in my life, in that the first round was unbelievable. Every game you go, wow,
too good to be true.
We just beat Vancouver. This is crazy. Yeah. We're up.
Well, no one expects 16-4. I mean, that's unattainable in playoffs.
Game two, you know, game you three. It's not possible. It's not possible. Every time we played the Blues, same thing. The Coyotes, same thing. It just seemed so unreal. And then you get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you're up 3-0. It's absurd.
Yeah, they were the first team in Stanley Cup playoff history to ever win the first three games of all four rounds.
Wow.
First team to ever win 10 straight on the road in one playoff year. And and defeat the first eighth seed ever to win the Stanley Cup, and then the first eighth place seed to ever beat the number one team, the number two team, the number three team in their conference, and then go on to beat the Devils. And the Devils made a series out of it.
I'll tell you,
we were a little worried going into Game 6 if they had lost that and have to go back to Game 7 in New Jersey. So going to the Game 6, I'm thinking in my mind, if we could just get a 4-goal lead, I could relax.
It's funny that a 3-goal lead isn't enough.
We got a four-goal lead, and it was too early. There was too much time.
Yes, left. Yes.
I still couldn't relax until we got that fifth goal.
When we went on the major power play in the first period, I thought to myself, I would never say this out loud, but if we don't score at least one goal here, we're in trouble. And yeah. then we scored one and two and three, and I was like, this is so too good to be true, and it's so early in the game. And I was telling Bean, you know, I was at the game where I think the Kings were up 4-0 in the first period, and then they lost the game.
Well, that was maybe in the playoffs last year against San Jose. We had a four-goal lead and lost. And, of course, we were down by five goals in 82
right.
and came back against the Oilers and won. So
you're just afraid. You're afraid that it's too early. You're afraid bad things can still happen.
I know it. I wasn't ready to relax that early.
Yep.
But they came on. And, you know, what worried me was when New Jersey scored late in the second period, then we got a penalty.
Yep.
And they had a power play in the third period. And I thought, boy, if they score here, it's 4-2 with about 18 minutes to go.
Yep.
And anything can happen.
Anything can happen, right.
If they get the next one, it's 4-3, and then look out. they've got life, but we got through it. And I thought the third goal on that major power play was the real killer. It came with seconds left
yep,
in that power
seconds.
Play, and that really demoralized New Jersey, I'm sure.
This is the voice of Hockey Hall of Famer Bob Miller here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Before we let you go, Mr. Miller, you mentioned 52 years in broadcasting, 39 seasons as the voice of the LA Kings. Does winning the Stanley Cup at all influence whatever decision you had in your mind about how much longer you want to keep doing this or when you might retire?
Well, you know, I had made a statement a couple of years ago. My greatest fear was I'm going to retire and they'll win the Cup the next season. And so now people have said to me, well, now you don't have that fear, so what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm not going to retire now. I want to go around the league at least one year as Stanley Cup champions and see how that feels.
Plus, so, if you retire now, you might miss the second cup.
Well, that's true. That's true. I hope we get a second cup. Although, you know, I wonder if anything will ever match the first one you get after waiting so
yeah,
long.
Of course. Of course, yeah.
It would be good to see how you feel getting the second cup.
I'd like to be able to compare.
Well, Bob, you were one of the very first names we thought of after that series. We said, man, we love all these guys. We can't wait to talk to a number of them, but we really want to get Bob on. A, because we're happy for you, and B, because we've been a fan and enjoyed your work for so long. And congratulations, and thank you for all you do for the city of Los Angeles and for all of Southern California. Congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sorry it took so long to get back to you guys, but
a little busy.
I enjoyed it, and thank you for your support of the King.
Thank you, Bob.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
Speaking of hockey, by the way, Ralph, did I see something, a headline went by yesterday about they're making a movie about the Flyers? Rob Zombie is making a movie
about
the Flyers?
Here. Look at my first story.
What?
Oh. And now it's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
I heard you guys talk about hockey with Bob Miller, announcer for the Kings. This story comes right on the tails of that. Rob Zombie, writer, director, producer, has announced he is going to make a film called The Broad Street Bullies. This is a film about the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team.
I haven't heard anything about this. That sounds fantastic.
That's uncanny, Bean.
You just can't let
know.
Me do a goddamn
no,
thing.
No, but I don't know how he
can. I waited
it's
the
if he's
entire
psychic.
Day, and he's, you never brought it up. So
I was waiting for the interview with Bob Miller, who'd be hockey into hockey, sort of a segue.
I didn't know that.
I don't know how Bean can guess, but he does regularly exactly what Ralph's stories are going to be.
Sorry.
The team was a cellar-dwelling expansion team in the early 70s until they started roughhousing.
Just beat people up.
The Broad Street Bullies. They had such enforcers like Dave the Hammer Schultz, but they had some skill players too, like Bobby Clark, one of the greats. Anyway, they won back-to-back cups, and it is the story of that team and how they made the transition with their now legendary coach, Freddie Shiro. And it sounds like it's going to be a great film. The documentary that HBO did was amazing.
That's what I thought. I love that.
And so Rob Zombie was also impressed by that. He bought the rights to it. Now they're going to make the feature film version.
Rob Zombie, a guy who's at almost every Kings home game.
Yeah, he's a big hockey
Loves
fan.
Loves it.
And he's got a great take on it. He says, I see the film, which is set in the backdrop of the year 1974, as a combination of Rocky meets Boogie Nights on ice. You tell me that already. I'm in. I don't care what it is. But
They had you at Flyers.
Yeah, well, they had me at Rocky meets Boogie Nights on ice. I mean, that's the greatest slug line ever for a feature film. So exciting news. Great stuff. And I'm glad I had a chance to break it to you without anyone stepping all over and getting that information. While we're talking about sports, Layla Ali is just the latest to add her name to a brand new reality show called Stars Earn Stripes.
Uh-oh. They're going to change that name.
Stars
though, right?
Earn Stripes. Not Stars, Stars and Stripes.
Earn.
Stars Earn Stripes.
Okay.
A reality show that is hosted by retired U.S. Army General Wesley Clark.
Wow.
His last job was being the Supreme Allied Commander of Europe for NATO.
He's a real
Now
deal.
He's hosting the reality show.
What?
Some of the people who brought you Survivor and celebrities will have to go through armed forces training.
Love
and
it.
Then complete missions.
Love it.
One celebrity member, one member, a former member of the armed forces or a law enforcement agency will team up to try to complete missions before the other teams do. Here's your lineup so far.
I was going to say, this comes all down to casting.
Layla Ali, yes. As I mentioned, former boxing female boxing champion. Muhammad Ali's daughter, of course. Sarah Palin's husband, Todd Palin.
Nope. That's where we're at. Number two.
Former Superman, Dean Cain.
Okay.
Actor and former NFLer, Terry Crews.
Okay.
Former boy band star,
nope.
Nick Lachey.
Nope.
Olympic gold medalist, Peekaboo Street.
So you got a lot of athletes on this list.
And many more.
And then Nick Lachey.
And Nick Lachey. And Dean Cain.
Dean
Cain.
But no, Dean Cain is athletic.
Former athlete. He was a college football player, yeah. Too. Played for Princeton. Anyway, Stars Earn Stripes. From the people who brought you Survivor. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Sure.
It's kind of sad, though, that Wesley Clark's now hosting a reality show.
Yeah, doesn't it seem like he should be making like $200,000 a speech and be on boards of companies and things like that now?
I'm guessing he's doing that as well. I don't know.
Probably.
But he should do something else that's better than this.
Well, you would think.
Yeah. And while we're talking about money, great list from Forbes magazine. The top 10 biggest money-earning actresses for the past 12 years. Now, this money reflects all monies. We're talking salaries, profits, residuals, endorsements, advertising, the works. Top 10 highest paid actresses, according to Forbes magazine. Here's your list. Jennifer Aniston is $11 million. She's number 10. Kristen Wiig, $12 million. Meryl Streep, also a little bit over $12 million, made her number 8. Sarah Jessica Parker was $15 million.
That's the one that I don't get.
That's one of the ones I don't get.
Julia Roberts, $16 million. Charlize Theron, $18 million.
She deserves every penny.
Sarah Jessica Parker, by the way, has a lot of endorsement deals and that kind of stuff.
Is that what that is?
That's commercials true. She does cosmetics and stuff, right?
Angelina Jolie, $20 million. Number 4 on the list. Sandra Bullock, $25 million.
Wow. Well, she's America's sweetheart, you know.
Cameron Diaz, $34 million.
That's unbelievable.
She's second on the list. And number 1 on the list, the biggest money-earning actress in the past 12 months.
Don't say it.
Please welcome 4-time Tony winner, Miss Angela Lansbury.
Yes, Angela Lansbury.
How about that? I would have never seen that coming.
Kristen Stewart.
No!
Yes.
No!
Kristen Stewart, star of the Twilight films and Snow White and the Huntsman.
No!
$34.5 million makes her the richest actress this year.
No.
Yes.
No!
You want more Spider-Man tickets?
No!
I've got them.
Oh, wait, yes.
It's the premiere. The Amazing Spider-Man. It's happening in Westwood. You'll get to see the movie before anybody else on the red carpet premiere, along with Andrew Garfield, who's the new Spider-Man, Emma Stone, who plays Gwen Stacy in the film, Dennis Leary, who is her dad, Martin Sheen, Sally Field. Great, great cast to this new reboot of the Spider-Man franchise. If you'd like to go, you got to answer my trivia question. It's a toughie, but I'm trying to weed out the wheat from the chaff here. J. Jonah Jameson, of course, we all know as Spider-Man's boss over the Daily Bugle.
Of course.
Obviously.
But his son, John Jameson, American hero, was an astronaut, was an all-around good guy, wanted to marry Mary Jane Watson. But he also became one of Spider-Man's deadliest villains. Actually, several of Spider-Man's deadliest villains. Give me the name of one of these supervillains that John Jameson was in the Spider-Man mythology. 1-800-520-1067. There's like three. Give me one out of the three I'm thinking of, and you will get a pair of passes to see the red carpet world premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man. I'll take two callers. I got two pairs here, so the first two callers you get.
I would not win any of these tickets.
With a correct answer. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Martin Landau is 81 years old today. Did you ever see Ed Wood?
Oh, yes. I think
he's
I did.
Brilliant in that.
Landau. Did he win the Oscar?
I think he won Best Supporting Oscar.
He's incredible.
That. He plays Bela Lugosi.
in that film. And it's just an outstanding movie.
And he used to be on Mission Impossible, too, didn't he, Ralph?
Yeah.
I think that's where I fell in love with Martin Landau.
Ooh.
Take it easy.
Meaning, appreciated the man's talent.
I don't know if he won for Ed Wood. He may have won for Crimes and Misdemeanors, the Woody Allen film that he was in. But anyway, super talented guy, 81 years old today. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, 70 years old. Lionel Richie celebrates his 63rd birthday today. John Goodman, talented actor, 60 years old. Michael Anthony of Van Halen, and currently can be found in Chickenfoot. It's a bad name for a band.
It is.
That's also that's not a career that's going in the right direction if you're going from Van Halen to Chickenfoot.
You're in Chickenfoot. You're in there with the red Teletubby. What's his name?
Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar, yeah. 58 years old today. John Taylor of Duran Duran is 52. Nicole Kidman turns 45. Robert Rodriguez, director who gave us Machete.
This is Machete.
Amongst others, 44 years old. Josh Lucas is 41. Twiggy Ramirez, bassist for Marilyn Manson, is 41. Chino Moreno is 39. Quentin Rampage Jackson, 34. Grace Potter of Grace Potter and the Nocturnals is 29. And Christopher Mintz-Plasse from Superbad and Kick-Ass and other projects, 23 years old today. Do you have an answer to my trivia question? Carlos, I think, was the first guy through with the correct answer. Carlos?
Right here.
John Jameson, son of J. Jonah Jameson, also one of Spidey's
Man
villains.
Man-Wolf.
That's right.
Take it easy. He wasn't even done.
Oh, Man-Wolf.
Good to hear your voice again, man. Go Flyers.
Ah, good to hear you too, Carlos. Man-Wolf.
Man-Wolf.
Oh, I love Man-Wolf. I wonder if Isaiah said the same answer, whether he had a different one. Let's go to Isaiah real quick, see if he had one of the other ones.
He's just going to go
lesser known. There's two other lesser known ones. Isaiah, did you have one of the other villains?
Yeah, I had Man-Wolf.
Man-Wolf, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so that was one of the other ones. Okay, good.
We also would have accepted Star God or Colonel Jupiter. I'm take one of those.
You're making Colonel those up. Jupiter?
I'm not making him up.
Star God.
Yeah, but Man-Wolf is really what
he's
known
for. That's
not
even trying.
Man-Wolf.
Oh, dude, lame.
Man-Wolf!
Man-Wolf is cool.
It's the coolest.
Star God, not so good.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We understand that we fail at being funny, so tomorrow morning we have comedians coming in.
Man-Wolf.
Felipe Esparza will be in the studio.
Man-Wolf coming in?
We have Doug Benson on the program tomorrow.
Wow. We're stacking the deck.
Funny man Brad Williams coming in.
Wow, we have 2.5 comedians on the show tomorrow.
Brad Williams tweeted that he shoved a guy out of the way and got hit by a bus. And that it's the third time he's been hit by an automobile.
Yeah.
So maybe
Brad lands on your windshield, you just hit the wiper and you just knock him off, right?
Maybe little man should stay out of the road. That's my suggestion. We have Dr. Drew on tomorrow's show. We have from the X Games, Chad Kagi talking BMX. And we have a brand new internet roundup. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.